this way, folks. You're now entering the corking room. This is where the final step in the bottling process happens, where we prepare all the corks for all the bottles of Brunello that you saw earlier.
This is PFW in progress.
I've always actually wondered about that. How do you cork the bottles?
Excellent question, my Bella. As you can see, we are soaking all the corks in this room right now.
PFW in progress.
These three guys right here are some of the most talented cork soakers. Say hello, you old cork soakers.
With Fred Kirsch.
Now, I'm curious, how does one become a cork soaker?
As we like it to say, cork soakers are born, not made.
Paul Perillo.
Luigi here was simply born to soak cork.
I love soaking a cork. I could soak a cork all the night long if they let me.
And Andy. And Andy.
So, are all corks the same?
No, no. I like to soak the big, thick cork.
Andy Hart.
The great thing about the cork soaking is that while you are soaking the cork, you can also massage at the grapes.
The Sheriff, Tom Casale.
Could you teach me how to soak cork?
You know, when are you walking in here, I could have sworn you're already an expert cork soaker.
And you never know who else might stop by.
Thank you. I dabbled in college.
PFW in progress.
Do you ever run out of corks to soak?
This one vintage was unusually large, and I thought Giuseppe would need the extra corks.
And I thought Marcello would need more corks.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
So we soaked each other's corks at the same time.
Okay, PFW in progress. Tom Casale here with Andy Hart and Paul Perillo. We are without our fearless leader, Fred Kirsch. I'm not sure where he is, but I'm sure wherever he is, he's talking up Bass Pro, Sirius Radio, Houlihan's, or the Adam Mark Hotel, one of those things.
And Patriots-Cowboys Super Bowl, no one will care.
yeah. By the way, the most intelligent thing ever said on this show. Let's see, 17-1 Dallas, 18-0 New England. The most storied franchise of all time versus the biggest franchise of the modern era. Patriots going towards history. Make sure you tune into that AFC title game, though.
That'll be the bigger
game. The one. But Fred is not with us today.
Fred's in New York.
Yeah, Fred is in New York.
Big meeting.
So sorry, Jason Hamilton from Japan. I'm here, and I'm going to be reading the emails, whether you like it or not.
Is that the Chiba guy?
Yeah.
Evidently, someone's not liking Tom reading the emails.
I mean, I can't argue. I can't really get out anything, but I'm here. No one else wants to host, so eat it.
Like to eat it if someone would send it.
I'm not going to touch that. Webradio at patriots.com. 508-543-7482. Craig, where the heck are you? We haven't heard from you in a while.
I wonder if Craig is in that move.
Yeah, did he actually, like, get a job?
Maybe he's, you know, he was moving to North Carolina from South Carolina, so we were all confused.
I don't really want to hear from you, Craig, so don't call.
All that in a bag of chips.
Okay, you guys rep Bill today. You were in the locker room. What's going on?
Paul wasn't in the locker room.
I was not in the locker room. I went upstairs.
Oh, Andy, you were.
Nothing was going on in either area.
Okay. Thanks for the...
The only thing of any note I would say with the Belichick press conference is he was asked initially about the comments that Ron Jaworski said about Randy Moss, and he was asked if he saw any sort of lack of effort on Moss's part against Philadelphia, predictably.
And surprisingly, Bill said yes.
Bill.
He was having a talk with Moss.
Right.
And,
right. Predictably, Bill kind of talked around it. But I thought it was interesting the way he answered the question, saying there are times that we all... You know, we probably all need to do a better job and certain things. And Karen Garigan from the Boston Herald followed up and said, so are you saying yes to that? And
I never said that.
I never said that. I said that Ron was entitled to his opinion. But I think the rest of the answer kind of indicated that there might have been.
I just think that's Bill being vague on purpose.
Yeah.
He has an answer he uses. That way, if somebody tried to put him on the spot and show, as you said, Tom, that Jaworski showed some plays on SportsCenter or TV, whatever, then Bill says, I said he has things he can work on. You know, he doesn't make it a black and white issue that
he's
he can
the best at
corner. Right.
It is what it is.
Like Tom said, though, I mean, obviously he was being facetious and saying, you know, of course, Bill immediately said, oh, yes, I sat down and had a talk with him. No way of knowing. No way at all of knowing. Do you guys think that it was addressed?
I think it was addressed by probably Brady.
Yes, because.
Not Bill.
No.
Definitely Brady, I think. And I would like to get listeners' feedback on this. Jaws was on ESPN last. Now, listen, Jaws isn't a guy who takes cheap shots. Anyone who watches ESPN.
And Bill said that, I thought, when he said he's
a football guy.
But not only that, he's a prepared football guy.
Yes, he's not a guy who just throws out his opinion. And he actually had stuff to back it up.
Right.
One was a wheel route to Kevin Falk, which would have been a touchdown, but Moss didn't clear out like he should have, and a defender was able to come over. And the key one, I thought, was Moss going down the seam and Brady throwing the ball to where Moss was supposed to be. And Moss wasn't there, and Brady actually threw his hand down and, you know, said something like he was really upset about him. So I would like to know what Patriots fans think, what Jaws showed, because I think if you look at the tape, and now maybe this has happened in other games, Andy, like you said you think, but if you look at the tape that Jaws showed and what he said, I think it's hard to argue his point.
The only thing, I'm not arguing his point, because I saw the same things live. I said something to you, but I said
we all talked about it at the game.
We've seen it before, and I think that's the only difference. I think Jaws is being disingenuous, or he hasn't watched the tape enough of the previous game.
Well, now that might be true because he's doing Monday night.
He's doing the Monday night game, so maybe he gave it a little extra look this week.
That's possible,
maybe he intentionally looked for that.
Only criticism is that I think you could find it in earlier games. And like I said to you, I think Indy was a game where he didn't want to come across the middle as much as he did. He had, but then he catches the big one. Brady goes to him, and they win in the end.
Biggest argument that makes sense is if Moss catches that deep ball and scores,
no one's talking about that.
And it would be treated differently, and that's all I'm saying. I think you could find it in a number of games this year.
I agree with that. If he catches that bomb that he had two hands on, no one's talking about this.
Okay, so nothing else going on in the locker room. How's Lawrence Maroney?
Maroney is in pigtails.
Okay.
Is that what they're called? When you have it on both sides of the back of your head?
Sure.
Handles?
That's not what they're called. 8-year-old girls usually wear those?
Yes.
Okay.
He's soft like an 8-year-old girl,
maybe. That's why he's playing like one. But I won't go there. I don't know what you're talking
about. I just did.
I don't know what you're talking about. Pigtails.
You saw it. Pigtails. Two things on the back of his head.
Like 8-year-old girls.
Aren't they cornrows?
No.
I don't know what he has.
He has dreads, and then there's an elastic ponytail on the back corners of his head. Pigtails.
And totally unrelated news, Marion Barber looked good again last night.
Unrelated also, I ordered NFL Network.
Yes,
as did every other person in New England, apparently.
Why don't you tell us that story?
22 minutes I spent on hold on my ride home yesterday to order it, and I asked the woman when she was processing it if they were getting some of these calls, and she said, ridiculous, all day long, worse than Thanksgiving. She said Thanksgiving they got a ton for the game that night, obviously, and she said this was even worse.
And in New York, my mother, like it was 1972, had to go to ESPN News and watch updates every 5 minutes because they cannot get NFL Network. And I guess Time Warner took it on the chin. I heard that people were just outraged because my mother said people in that area were just outraged that they couldn't get the game even if they wanted to pay more. So
see, that's what I thought. I thought the brunt would go on the cable.
Well, see, I think the difference, Paul, is while people don't want to pay here, at least they have the choice to break down like Andy and say, okay, I'll pay the $10. I think where the cable companies are really going to get it are the ones that don't even offer that option.
Right.
So I think it is going to end up being split. Some people defend the NFL and some people. And
no, you're right.
I like what Collinsworth said last night. Gumbel brought it up.
Oh, that was funny.
And Collinsworth goes, well, I'm not going to say anything on it. So
Gumbel goes, we could spend the next 5 hours talking about that. And Collinsworth goes, I'm not going to spend one second.
Yeah. That was good
call by him.
So, what did you guys think of the game last night? Clearly one team was better than the other.
Yeah, I mean, I know that the Packers were without KGB and my boy Rouse and Woodson.
Woodson, I thought, was a significant loss.
But to be fair,
there was a clear divide.
Cowboys were with Wade Phillips, so it kind of evened out.
It did balance out. I just thought there was a clear divide. I didn't even think the Packers should have been in there. I mean, they got a freak play for the long touchdown run.
Sure.
Which is, I mean.
But I thought they did well to stick in the game, but I totally agree with you guys.
I thought Favre sucked. Everybody tells me he's great. The first time I sit down to watch a game in full this year, I saw two years ago that should have retired.
That's what I've seen the last 5 years out of him.
He really got hit, recoiling as he's throwing the ball, trying to throw a bomb,
and they say he got hit. He didn't get hit.
He got razzled early trying to make the big. Collinsworth was right when he kept saying that. That's not what they've been doing this year.
And then he went back to doing the flea flicker.
He goes deep, and there's a guy running across the middle, waving his arms like schoolyard football because he's wide open.
The ball was, you know, getting thrown downfield. He must have thrown, what did he throw, 14 passes? 10 of those, or 8 or 10 of those had to have traveled more than 30 yards.
But I want to watch Brett Favre.
And none of them came even close to being completed. They should have had four or five picks. One of them, they broke each other up with Hamlin and someone else.
Watkins.
Watkins.
Should have had it.
And I agree with you guys. I thought Dallas was clearly the superior team. Should have won the game a lot easier than they did. The T.O. drop was a huge, huge
Remember that argument, Randy Moss, T.O.? Tom, you want to revisit that?
Nah, you guys were right. I said you were right.
I know. I'm just kidding. Because this one was the
and
most.
And I also.
I mean, that was one of the worst plays I've ever. It's like he just hot potatoed it and said, no, you pick it.
Officiating again, though. Oh, it just makes me curious. I find it curious. And I know I harp on this all the time and I sound like a broken record. But Al Harris took the ball away from Terrell Owens on that first first pass I think Dallas threw. That's either an interception or a fumble. And you can call whatever you want. I don't care. But that's a turnover. The referee from the back came in and indicated as such, and they seemingly just ignored that guy.
Right.
I don't understand. You know, I'm looking at something and I'm trying to figure out what it means, and they don't have a clue. They don't. I agree. This is not a Patriots thing. It's not. I didn't care who won
Mike
the game
McCarthy
last night.
Got host.
Tom's a big Dallas fan. I'm not. I don't care. I just wanted to watch a good game last night. That was a bad call.
No question. I think at first they tried to tell him he couldn't challenge it either.
And then
he challenged it, and then they should have let him not challenge it, because if they're just going to screw him and not look at the video and ignore what's there, then.
And how could you go to video, look at that, and say the play stands as called?
I could have Jackson Hart could have looked at that and said, well, that's not fair. He ended up with the ball.
the way I look at it, the play stands as called. If I'm Mike McCarthy, I'm like, great, it's our ball. This guy called it our ball.
It's true.
I don't get it.
Not only that, they got hosed with a penalty, didn't they? Because what's his name? Was,
oh, because Al Harris threw the ball down.
Was sulking, because I got no problem with that either. They got hosed, and if you're being treated unfairly, then you might as well just pile onto it and screw us.
Yeah, and then in my never-ending quest to change the rules of the game, I don't know how the second touch would-be touchdown that Fasano had, even though they scored in the very next play. He catches the ball. He spins around.
He had
full control. He hit the ground, and then the ball comes out.
Right.
Why is that not a touchdown? It should have been a
fumble. That's the way they want it.
Should have been a fumble if it was in the middle of the field.
That's the way they want
it. And I know that's the way they have it. You have to maintain possession of the ball on the ground. Why? Don't get it.
Quick aside here. Mini Gary, why are all these emails coming in and going like in the middle? And don't they usually go up top? Like, people are sending in emails and they're all over the place.
If you click on the received at the top, it'll organize
the very
them
top part where it actually.
I gotcha. Okay, we're okay.
More importantly, do any of them say lunch is
yes,
on the way?
Yes, they do. But no, hang on. Josh, if you're not going to send us lunch, don't put lunch in the subject. He puts lunch. I would have sent you lunch today, but I spent that money on a Randy Moss mask from the pro shop for Monday's game. I hope it gets here in time. I don't even know what that is.
There's Randy Moss masks?
Josh, you should buy us lunch now for that crap.
You tease.
Strippers.
Although I do appreciate the guy, and I forgot his name, who's offering me advice on my flexible spending account and healthcare options, who's a consultant to the healthcare industry. I may be emailing you to let me know how I get that done.
Hey, as a total aside, what do you guys think of Ryan Grant?
He looked all right.
He looked okay.
Like he ran tough.
Yeah.
He had the big one, obviously, because Roy Williams
can't play
safety.
And I agree with Andy. That was somewhat
just
fluky.
Quirky.
But I thought he ran hard.
Yeah, he did run hard. He got extra yards when he shouldn't have.
You know, and I know that the bulk of his yards came on that run, and you can't take that away. I'm not trying to. But
Dallas has a good run.
And they fell way behind.
Yeah.
He couldn't run the ball. He only had, I think, 14 carries for 100 yards, or like 90-something yards.
He made one bad run, I thought, on a little toss. And he tried to, like, he could have cut it up for maybe 2 yards and tried to beat Canty to the edge, and Canty brought him down for, like, a 3-yard loss. And it was a bad decision. But I thought he was okay. I mean, I'm not really ready to say he's good or bad.
No, I'm just saying, like, they showed that stat that since week 8, he's leading the league in rushing. He's coming on a little bit, and I'm wondering if maybe they can get a semblance of balance as they go down the stretch. I think they need that because at some point, Brett Favre's going to do what he did last night.
So why do you think he did that? Game plan or stones?
I don't think it was game plan because they came out on that first drive doing what they've been doing all year.
I just think he gets rattled in Dallas.
I think
it's one
Tom's
of those
right.
places that he just – it's in your head that
– Could be.
You know, we've seen Brady do it in Miami where he does things he never, ever does.
Right.
And I think he was pressing a little, especially when Dallas started moving the ball that easy. I mean, they were going down the field like nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he starts to get that, we got to get this back. And – hey, you know what my complaint was about the whole game? Them having their corners 15 yards off receivers every single play.
Right.
All you have to do is what they did near the goal line is just throw boom, boom, boom. You could have done it all game.
Yep.
And I think that's why I'll give you the score right now, 45-31. There's your Super Bowl score if these teams play. It'll be Welker all day over the middle. They may, you know, Moss might get taken out a little bit because they're so far off freaking receivers. I don't think he can throw deep on them. But Brady will just pick that secondary apart all day long.
Yeah. And Dallas's defense is not impressive to me. I think they have some impressive players. Mm-hmm. And I think DeMarcus Ware individually is one of the most impressive players I've seen all year. Those plays that they showed him dropping in coverage,
though, too much.
But did you see the plays he made? I agree with you. He should be getting after the passer. But that Dallas play
Thomas
he made,
has tackles at inside linebacker. Listen, you know how I feel about these things. No, put him in place to make impact plays.
But can't you separate your selfish need to be the defensive coordinator?
You know me.
And recognize the ability that it takes for a guy to get 20 yards downfield to get a hand on a pass the way he did on that play.
Well, I now know why Ted Cottrell is the defensive coordinator for San Diego, because that idiot in Dallas is running the same defense. How could I just don't get it. What is the sense of bringing pressure if your corners are 15 yards off? You think that's going to work against Tom Brady?
That's the age-old question we've been asking all the time. If you're gonna bring everything, that's what Philadelphia did. And I understand that the Patriots racked up tons of yardage and points.
But they worked for it.
But they made them earn almost every yard they got. And when they blitzed them, they had tight coverage. And if you were going to catch it, they were going to make you pay. Now, the Patriots are so good, they made them pay.
I just don't get it. To me, it's playing scared. It's having your guys. You're supposed to have a bump and run guy in Terrence Newman, and you got him 15 yards off. I can understand Jacques Reeves. You don't want him in the grill of Randy Moss. That makes sense to me. But to do, like I said, Andy, they had the ball first and goal at the 9. The Packers, the Cowboys' corners were standing in the end zone. How hard is that for any quarterback to throw a 6-yard pass?
Where would you put the game just in terms of hype versus delivery?
Now, you're talking to me. I didn't think that the Packers were ever going to win that game. A little bit when T.O. dropped that pass in the end zone.
I was going to say, on that interception when Green Bay had the ball with a chin, and they were moving effortlessly.
And you know what I started
Rogers.
Thinking? The 2001 Patriots. You know how we've been kind of saying that they've been having things go their way? Because, we've seen T.O. drop a lot of balls. I've never seen anything like that.
That was
like you said, Andy. He almost threw it in the air to him.
I think he had money on the other team.
I thought it was a compelling game. I don't think it was particularly well played.
No, me either.
But I thought it was a compelling game because of the fact that they lost Favre. They fell way behind. Rodgers, 14 out of 15 at one point, leads them back.
Embarrassing.
They get within 3. T.O. makes that I mean, that's a play on all kinds of blooper reels. We're watching NFL Network now. They're showing all kinds of old bloopers. That's going to be on one in 10 years.
By the way, I hate T.O.
I do, too.
That interception, where they were both there and it got knocked away, that bad throw down the left side, they showed him, and I swear he rolled his eyes. Like, rolled his eyes as if to say, we can't even pick the ball off and get the ball back for it. Like,
oh, I know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
He is just so
unlikable. Shut up.
Oh, that
and
was
even
another
they
one
showed him in
warm-ups,
he's warming up with somebody, and they had the camera focus on him the whole time, and he throws it back, and he, like, snaps at the guy, like, throw it, I'm ready, throw the ball, like, even in warm-ups, he's a jerk.
I told you I was trying to predict all the times that Tom would explode during that game, you know, all the individual plays. That was another one. When they dropped that interception, when the two guys fought over the ball, and then the next play, they converted the 3rd and 10 with a 19-yard completion.
I turn to Allison, and I go, that's what happens when you don't do your job, right there.
So I predict that one correctly.
I think the Cowboys are far and away the best. And it's all Tony Romo. I mean, this guy has taken his game. I agree with Collinsworth. Every time he makes the right read, they say, you know, like, he doesn't. I think Brady and Manning are two different quarterbacks, in my opinion, the way they play. I think Romo is in that Brady mold where I know he takes more chances than Brady, but I just think he's starting to see things. And I think, he's not as good as Tom Brady. I'm not trying to say that. But I just think the way he sees the field,
and not only just
Brady-like.
Sees it, I don't think he saw Fasano on that touchdown. I think he knew where he was going to be, and said, "I'm looking off, and then I'm throwing to my guy." Like he's the confidence, I think, right now of guy's going to be where I know they're supposed to be, and that type of thing. He's riding high.
I think he is doing things
now,
like Brady.
He has some adversity to get through at some point, and like I said, I think it's too early to label him a can't win the
he's
big one,
do it.
Big game quarterback, any of those things. I mean, what start is he at now? I mean, is he like
20?
18, 20, somewhere up in there? High, you know, so he's got a ways
18.
To go before you label him anything, but
he's
been very impressive.
He needs to do it, obviously, in the playoffs and those kinds of big on the big stage and stuff like that. But I do think, and they showed an ESPN last night, I'm sure Tom saw it, they broke down like three of the touchdown throws, and they showed like they put the, you know, when they spot shadow like where he's looking, like, you know, they'd show the drop back and they show what he's looking at and then where he ends up throwing. And the Fasano one is the most obvious one because he never even looked at that side of the field. He is surveying the field the way mm-hmm. Brady and Manning do. Now, I don't know if he can do that on a consistent basis. I don't know if he can do that against the best defenses. And I don't know if he can do it consistently over the span right. of 5, 6, 7 years. But right now, I watch the guy play and I see why he's had his, I mean, 33 touchdown passes is nothing to sneeze at.
Right.
That's a lot.
And he looks very calm in the pocket. Like, even, very when, much he, even so. When he moves around, it's not like he's a chicken with his head cut
off. His head's always downfield. Mm-hmm. His eyes are always downfield.
And you're going to get some of those that you,
Jessica Simpson.
And you're going to get some of those where he's looking and he's going to try to make the big play. And
right.
You're gonna get, that's the, he's the type of quarterback, that's what you got to live
but
with.
But he doesn't seem to do it too often.
Too much. Right.
It's like he's got a pretty good handle on controlling himself, the urge to do that as much as he might want to.
Well, we have an email from the game. This is from Tom from Foxborough. Said, I'm sitting here watching the Cowboys-Packers game, and I got to thinking. The Cowboys score 38 points a game on offense, but their defense can't stop anyone from passing all over them. Isn't Wade Phillips supposed to be a defensive coach? We all know he has nothing to do with the high-scoring offense, right? On defense, he has his corners playing 15 yards off the receivers, even when the other team is inside the 10-yard line. So my question is, what in the hell is he doing there? His responsibility, the defense, is the weakness of the team. Do you guys agree that Bum should have pulled out and saved us all from having to watch this idiot on the sidelines? Thanks. And by the way, I love the show, especially Casale, but I'm never buying you fat bastards lunch.
First of all,
that might as well come right out of your mouth.
Tom in Foxborough's a moron.
Look at that douchebag. Yeah, I had to get out an email when I was watching the show or watching the game because I was starting to get mad. But the good news is Ethan.
Yes.
From Delaware has sent us lunch, I believe. Is that true, Mini Gary?
I sent them the order and asked them to email us back if he was going to do it.
Ethan, okay, you're doing a fine job. Get it done.
We have a ton of emails about the NFL Network. First, one thing I don't think we hit on yet, Gumbel is awful.
Yes.
I mean, how many times are you going to call the Cowboys the Packers?
It wouldn't seem to be that difficult of a thing to do, to get the teams actually correct.
Right.
Doesn't seem to be... I don't think you have to host the Today Show for a while.
And let's be honest.
Able to do that.
The guy's not like Kirk Herbstreit, where he's doing multiple games a day, flying around, doing this, doing that. He does like 6-8 games a year.
You know
and
what
there's
it is?
Plenty
me,
of prep time.
It's you hit the nail right in the head, Ian. It's laziness. Because, if you, first of all, the guy is a phenomenal host. That Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel on HBO, he is absolutely tremendous in that role.
Never seen it.
The guy has got talent. It's not like he can't do it. Okay,
he's not listening, Paul, and you're never getting on that show.
All it is,
stop sucking
all
up.
It is to me, is laziness. Yeah, that's really sucking up.
Is that the same Gumbel?
Yeah, I thought Brian, it was a different Real Gumbel. Sports with Brian
oh, that's
Gumbel.
The same one.
Yeah,
I get those two.
Greg
confused.
Greg Gumbel is a play-by-play guy on CBS.
Mm. Okay, yeah, you're right.
Real Sports with Brian Gumbel, was that the giveaway? That
is no, I couldn't remember if the Gumbel on NFL Network was Bryant or Greg. Oh. I get them mixed up. Well, Charlie,
but he was bad.
Charlie is he's not happy with the NFL Network, and he's got it. So he says, if you
so cancel it,
I'm sure you guys have already talked about this, but I figured I'd email anyways. I was watching last night's game on NFL Network at a friend's house, and man, what crappy production! Now Paul's going to get upset about this.
I'd be interested. That's tick, why. Tick, tick, well, he, that's he why I asked you guys this. I'm interested in this.
He gets some things. Gumbel stinks as an announcer. He's so soft spoken. Dion's mic on the sideline sounded horribly fuzzy. The crowd noise didn't sound right all game. Well, I agree about the crowd noise
because
they were cheering
because
for the freaking Packers.
The Packers were cheering and the Cowboys weren't. I agree with that. That's probably why Brian Gumbel kept getting confused.
I felt like I was watching a Division II college football game on a local station, not an NFL game. Are all these games on NFL Network like this? If so, I'm glad I don't pay for that channel. Keep up the good work, Charlie.
First of all, you pay for it somewhere. And second of all, no, I thought it was fine. And I actually, the first thing I said when we came in was I thought the HD was a high-quality HD because I'm a bit of a I notice that type of thing if HD isn't as good from channel to channel, and I thought it was a good one.
I hear a lot of people, and I mentioned it yesterday when I was driving home on ESPN Radio here in Boston, the Mike Felger show, they were talking about
this
kind of stuff.
It's a great show. Check it out today, 3 to 6.
Yeah, Hans and Franz will be on today. But the thing that I don't – they were talking in similar terms, and I hear people saying the production value of the NFL Network games is lacking. And I'd like to do a Pepsi challenge. I'd like to put a production of a game – not tell anybody what network they're on and just show a CBS game, a Fox game, an ESPN game, and an NFL Network game and have somebody look at it and say, oh, I can tell by you know, the camera angle there, that that's NFL Network and that one is CBS, because I can't tell. I think Brian Gumbel is awful. I think he's a terrible play-by-play guy. How many times did he say, would appear to have? And he would appear to have a first down. What was your first clue? The fact that he's 15 yards past the yellow line?
He did that with the onside kick, too. Right. After he kicked it deep, he goes, I don't think there's any question he's going to kick deep.
Right.
It's because the ball's already in the air going deep. Right. Say it 5 seconds earlier, you pansy.
Right.
Plus, idiot.
Isn't it also, you're there live.
Right.
And you saw what happened. Right?
Right.
I mean,
he's a fraud. He stinks. I agree. But other than that, the production was fine.
I didn't really have any problems with it. I like how they didn't go down to the sidelines too much, and when they did, it was to talk to Mooch about Brett Favre.
The whole broadcast is biased.
Yeah, he was hugging Brett Favre,
playing basketball with Romo. Everybody on that set had.
I didn't notice Charlie's audio problem when they went down to Dion. I didn't have any. I didn't have any feedback with that.
Dion
that
just
audio.
Makes me laugh every time he talks. So
I do agree with your criticism of Brian Gumbel, but that's about it.
Stripper says we love Tom reading emails. Tom rules. So eat that guy from
Stripper's
Chiba.
The best. What's the record today?
I think we have two or three. So
eight
far.
Emails from Stripper.
Early. Yeah. He's gonna.
He can break
all,
that.
He can break our that. Questions. We have questions we're gonna come up with. He'll answer.
Well, I went upstairs yesterday. There was like three more that we never got to.
But he'll answer your questions. Like if you say, "Boy, what was I doing yesterday?" Strippers will email in and tell you. Yeah. We have a ton of emails about NFL Network, about the game coming up this week, about the game last night. So we'll get to those right after a quick break.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we got to go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
It's raining in Baltimore.
Okay, we're back. PFW in progress. Tom Casale, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo. Web radio at patriots.com. 508-543-7482. And strippers replied to what I was doing yesterday, enjoying internet porn, he said.
No doubt.
I wish it was true, but my freaking wife won't give me a minute to myself. I deleted.
So I can have sex.
I deleted one email on accident. Someone called me out and said, I'm an 8-year-old girl because I'm sitting in a chair and not on the field with professional football players. You are correct. I cannot play professional football. But in my defense, neither can Lawrence Maroney. So.
Oh my God, that is funny!
The other 98% of the population?
Yeah, I cannot play professional football. So you definitely got. I actually get paid, though, to talk about football, not play it.
Right.
And that's what we do. And hey, I hope Lawrence Maroney has a. I like Lawrence Maroney. I don't.
He's one of my best friends.
And I've been wrong plenty of times. And maybe I'll be wrong on this. I have no problem if Lawrence Maroney turns into a good player. I hope that he does. He seems like a nice person. Always, he ain't going to be that nice to me, probably, if he gets a hold of this week's edition of PF.
He'll never see it.
Maybe this will be the time, Tom, when they walk by and they pat you on the
back. Everybody in the locker room always pats Eric on the behind, which I'm sure he likes.
Very much enjoys.
But because he writes these sappy stories, and I was complaining that no one's ever done that to me, with my luck, I'll get it next week with Maroney.
That's the only time you really get it, too, is when you write those sappy features.
You're more likely to get maybe the one thing he took from Corey Dillon was the keep it up. Mother effer that he threw at Felger when Dillon was mad at Felger.
You don't want to start that with me because I'll tell him to keep that locker warm for Darren McFadden.
Tom's had that comeback since before he wrote the
playing
story.
Playing the role of Fred Kirsch is Tom Casale, who's practicing his lines in the mirror.
I just hope I can get it out better than Fred Kirsch. I'll be
yeah,
in front of
that's
everybody.
That's okay. You're just going to keep Darren Woodson. No!
We got a ton of emails. What do you guys want to talk about?
Food.
Whatever the emails want to talk about.
Yeah, go with it. Not too many NFL Network things. Can we sprinkle in some Patriots, Ravens?
This is from Josh, who said he was going to buy us lunch, then lied. He said, a picture of the mask is below. You guys want lunch? What can you do for me on Monday night while I am at the game as a little treat? You give tours to guys who can make it to the stadium, which would be great, but I can't get up there this season. Give me something to work with. Well, we can't do it at the away stadiums, Josh. How do I see this mask? I have to see what he's talking about here. Open it? Is that
that would help.
We can't give anything at away stadiums because we have no pull there. Please tell me you're joking and you didn't buy this.
Is it really a mask?
Oh, yeah.
That thing is scary.
Josh, this borders on, like, I don't want you sending emails here anymore.
Oh, my God.
That is odd.
Josh, email back in and tell me why you.
It would have been a much more worthwhile endeavor to have bought us lunch.
Yes,
I have to say.
And how much
better investment, don't you think,
Josh? How much was that mask?
Couldn't have been more than a lunch.
And we sell it. We need to do online therapy here.
That did we sell that in the pro shop?
That's what he said.
So the bigger question is,
I think they're like $40.
Oh my God!
So you could have bought us lunch for that.
Yeah, there's only three of us today.
Oh, man.
But the bigger issue isn't why he bought one of them. It's why Ken Flanders bought two gross and he's trying to sell them. He'll be stuck with those next year when Moss is gone.
Well, Matt from Quincy wants to talk about Moss. He says, I think the thing you see with Moss is that he gets easily frustrated. And when he does, he sort of loses interest. He was like that the whole time in Oakland. He had his moments even in Minnesota. The problem is, if he is going to essentially take himself out of the game so easily, I think this could be a problem that other teams will expose as the playoffs approach. What do you guys think?
I mean, I think there's a little bit of a fear of that. I think that in this particular game, I totally agree with Andy. I think that long pass could have changed the complexion of his night. But I do think, and I think it's kind of been proven out, most of our fans are usually very positive. And there have been more than a few now, like Matt, that have written in and saying, hey, look, it looked like he was frustrated. It didn't look the same against the Eagles. Maybe there is, if you can hit him a little bit and knock him off his game, he doesn't look like he's as comfortable on those slants and anywhere in between the hash marks as he does when he's deep down the field.
But so you got to do it.
You got to be able
you
to do
take
it.
Him
it's
out
not
of the
easy.
Game early.
Only a couple of teams have been able to do it. I thought Cleveland did a good job of it, to be honest with you. We forgot about it because it was a blowout game, and really the Browns were never in it. But I thought they did a good job. I think Lee Bodden was the one that was hitting him at the line, and they were rolling the safety help behind him. Look, I don't think it's easy to just take a guy that's that talented and knock him around and take him out of the game. I think that's why he has the numbers he has. But I suppose it's a concern.
You guys eat cookies?
I eat anything. You know that.
Got a catalog yesterday. And
you better wrap this up.
No, this involves us. Why? What do you got to get to? The NFL Network sucks. We got 420 of those emails to read.
This doesn't sound like one of those diversions I'm interested in.
Well, I'm asking if we eat cookies enough. Because I got a catalog.
If we eat cookies enough?
For Cheryl and Company. Have you ever heard of that? It's a cookie. Christmas cookie
company?
Well,
I have diabetes, so I'm not usually eating.
They have sugar-free, actually.
Yeah, do you ever have one of those?
No, and I never will.
That's a party.
The bottom line is, Andy was looking through the baskets and trying to figure out how he could get some of the cookies. So I was thinking, well, maybe I'll just send it to work and say, to PFW from Andy, and then Andy can go over to the basket and have two cookies. Should I do that?
For Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm bringing in my mother's macaroni like I always do as my Christmas present.
I might send cookies to the office.
Just so you know, I'm not bringing in anything for a Christmas present for anybody.
I don't care.
Mine is only because I want the cookies.
I just don't want anybody.
So you're telling me
I don't want anybody to be offended.
I might buy lunch one day, actually.
The assorted cookies, I shouldn't select any of the sugar-free ones for you?
No, you can. I'll eat them and I'll pretend to like them because
I've
had diabetes forever, but they stink.
Okay.
What are you looking at?
Nothing.
Okay.
Somebody came in the door.
Steve
I didn't know
from
it was.
Edmonton says, you guys have a dream job talking about football. The
Absolutely.
Bum you deleted accidentally should shut up. Millions of people would kill for your job. By the way, where can I get my Fright Night mask? You don't want one of those.
No.
I don't think they have enough plaster to make the nose. So
I can tell you where you can get it. The hotel room in Baltimore. Scary monster when he puts that mask on.
I'm really looking forward to this Baltimore trip. I just wish it wasn't a night game.
I just wish it wasn't
there's
on
a
the
lot
road.
Of people.
M&T Bank Stadium, is that the name of it nowadays? I know I've been there.
Steve and other people have written in about a Bum Phillips saying, you know, he's basically a puppet and he's the Pete Carroll. You're all right. The guy is, I don't know what he's doing there. I just don't. I didn't like the hire when it started. I know you're saying, geez, Tom, they're 11-1. How can you complain? I complain because, to me, only one team wins the Super Bowl. So I'm comparing him to the Patriots. And he's going to go in. He's going to do the exact same thing he did last game.
Shut down the run?
Yeah. He's going to have his – Bill's going to have his, like, in the water boy, his Football for Dummies book out. And they're going to torch him. So
yeah, what's Wade going to do if the Patriots come out in five wide, like, with no running back? No, we didn't go over this. Where's Sammy Morris these days?
TG.
He's hurt?
TG.
Oh, son of a. Could have used those 2 weeks back.
TG and NJ wants to know my assessment on Anthony Spencer and how Oliver Hoyt is doing. Well, Hoyt is the starting
Tremendous.
Fullback, probably go to the Pro Bowl this year. He deserves that honor.
He is.
And
he's hurt for half the year.
Anthony Spencer's playing well. I mean, he's a rookie, but I've noticed him getting some pressure on the games I've seen.
That's a pressure last night.
And I asked my cousin-in-law, who gets to watch all the games, which I don't anymore, and he's happy with him so far. So far, so good for him, and we'll see how he goes moving forward. Tom Brady.
One guy who's not doing anything. A PFW favorite. I haven't seen mention of Bobby Carpenter in forever. What is he doing?
He plays special teams with Justin Rogers.
Yeah. He's not on the defense at all.
Well, and the
we liked him. We all liked him, so I guess we
I
should.
Still do like him.
And, Paul, I believed
Wade Phillips,
you had heard something from one of your moles.
Todd Archer, who writes for the Dallas
they
Morning
kinda
News.
They kind of don't know where to use him.
Yeah.
Well, use him somewhere.
Well,
they don't know where he fits. Like, he doesn't really fit either one, inside or outside.
Or you don't know.
I'm guessing that he can't.
Well, put him in one and try.
Right. Well.
Right?
Look, I'm not there. I don't see what he's
doing. Well, the Patriots should call and trade for him.
Our opinion, it would be outside.
Yeah, I think he could play both, but I would put him at outside because I think he could make plays. I think he could be a Mike Vrabel big outside linebacker and do some things. But Worst comes to worst, give him a chance.
Is that big?
Is he? Oh, he's pretty. He's pretty thick.
Like 280?
He's not as tall.
No, he's not as tall.
But I bet you he's 260.
But he's been.
Oh, then he definitely should.
But
should
he's
be
been a bust. I mean, if,
yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and say I'm disappointed with Lawrence Maroney and say, right. Well, that Carpenter's great on special teams.
I'll trade
been an
for him though.
Bust.
I'll one, trade for him and put problems, him with Seau and Bruschi. Rotate, boom, right now, tomorrow.
One of the problems I think you have at inside is perfect Roy Williams play last night, by the way. Oh. The guy who should go to the Pro
that was
Bowl.
That was another Tom explosion.
Yeah, the guy who should go to the Pro Bowl, Brady James, makes a great stick on Grant, and then Williams comes in and hits him after James already has him, the guy who shouldn't go to the Pro Bowl. And then what does NFL Network do? Talk about, oh, Roy right. Williams, what a great hit.
And I really don't like his but sleeves. That's, I hate that sleeve.
I don't like him at all.
He reminds me of Jermaine Wiggins when he was trying to lose weight. Is he fat? Is that to try to lose weight? What's the deal with it? It looks
Parcells
stupid.
Parcells used to get on him for his weight. Remember,
yeah.
Tom?
It
he used to always say he's a donut away from being yep. a linebacker.
And then after the Grant
Tom used
Long...
to say, well, just have the donut because you're not a safety yeah. anymore.
Well, he's not a linebacker either. After the Grant Long run, he's sitting on the bench with just like the stupid... What happened? Look, kind of
that
a way
was Keystone
Phillips
look. Cobbs-esque with Hamlin and Williams
terrible.
On that play. I mean, what
I
would
think, I actually think that Roy Williams has lost confidence now, and you can see it
could
in
be.
His face. Like before, I thought he was confident even when he wasn't playing that well, but I think all the criticism is starting to get to him, and it looks to me like he doesn't have much confidence anymore. But Paul, I wanted to ask you something since you did the preview, and I don't like when. First of all, strippers, who is this girl that you sent me pictures to, and is there any possible way I can meet her? Because there's no question that's not the best one. Hang on. Jeez, I didn't know you guys were going to come flying over the desk at me. Someone almost took a shot at me. This is some girl that strippers sent us. I don't know who that is. Strippers just sends us pictures of girls and doesn't tell us who
and
they
keep
are.
It up, strippers.
And we have and we have the job that everybody is
right.
is striving for.
But
he just has these random girls.
Well, I wanted to ask you because you know my thing.
Ask me.
My thing that I hate how people form opinions on players just from watching ESPN highlights. If you don't watch the team, you know that was my whole Roy Williams argument when I got here that
sure.
people don't watch.
And
the
I was
Cowboys.
Guilty of that. Remember
and. To me, from the highlights I've seen this year, because I know you did the Ravens preview, it seems to me that McAllister isn't playing
not
up
having,
to the level.
Not
now, is that
year.
True, or is that just some of the highlights?
Well, I mean, I can't tell you from watching all the games. I can tell you from this past game against San Diego, the entire Ravens secondary was out to lunch. They had more passes completed to wide-open guys than I've ever seen. It was Patriots-esque. You know, guys
and they've
just
given
unattended.
Up more big plays this year than normal.
No,
they?
I mean offensive. Patriots
no,
offense, not, you know, before I get, you know, I don't want to be misunderstood. but from what I read in doing some of the work, in some of the research, McAllister's not having a typical Chris McAllister year. And Samari Roll just came back from that bout with epilepsy. And that was his first game back last week.
Bring us a little more detail about that because I know you did a lot of research on the epilepsy.
Well, no,
no
I like
was
to
funny.
Know that myself,
well,
actually.
Well, you know, I know you're making fun of me because I didn't even know about it. I knew he was out of the lineup, and they didn't know why. But I didn't know that they had. It was learned that it was epilepsy
right.
until Howard Balzer, of all people, wrote it in our paper last week.
Of all people.
Well, because that's the first relevant thing that I think he's contributed to our paper in 2 years.
Hey, Howard, how are you?
You're doing a great job, though.
I don't like you.
Anyway.
Yeah, I don't either.
Plus,
keep
I don't
the check's
like,
coming.
I'll be honest with you. I'm like you, Andy. I am a team guy, and I was very much offended what he said to you and Tom.
I'm still offended.
Right. But
why
I
do you
wasn't
think
even
he
offended
gets no
by
respect
it.
From us. I called him stupid geniuses.
Anyway.
Think of that.
He missed about a month and a half or 2 months of action. At first, they didn't know what was going on. They had some medications that he was on. He had an adverse reaction to some of that, which set him back again. And then they realized that, you know, they were keeping it under wraps, I think, because they didn't want anybody to know it was epilepsy until he was ready to say that publicly. And that's, I guess, what happened within the last, say, 3 weeks or so. And he had his first game back against the Chargers and looked very rusty. I mean, it was you would think that they didn't know who Antonio Gates was in that game. He was so wide open. Chris Chambers caught a touchdown pass. No one within the same area code. So I think those players are too good.
Now, what about Ed Reed?
Well, I don't know if you know, but as I said
for the third straight day, we got it. Tom now owes ESPN's Michael Smith $50.
I don't know how I thought when Michael Smith said that today,
he was
kidding.
Joking, but
he wasn't.
I thought he was joking, and then he made it a legit question.
Yeah.
For the third straight day, people asked about Bill Belichick, Ed Reed, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I mean, he is great.
So when people
but
say,
I didn't notice him much in that Chargers game.
So when people say, like, Felger, who's living in 1998, that the Ravens defense, blah, blah, they – they can give up the big play.
The Ravens still you can't run on them. They average like 70 something yards a game.
That's Greg
against on the ground. And I think that they have the pieces in place to be decent in coverage, but I think the pass rush has been pretty good. But I think, like Bill said today,
having a good year.
He's leading them in sacks. Yeah, but I think what happens with them is they've finally succumbed to the fact that they have no offense. I mean, you're seeing it every week. Someone new on that defense is taking a shot at the offense.
Right.
And I think they've won a lot of games in the past when they know that they can't score. But now that it's like they've been beaten down. They know they're not going to the playoffs. They know they're not going because they can't score. And they've kind of given up a little bit.
Speaking of offense, did you see the quotes from Billick talking about the Patriots offense, comparing them to the Vikings offense? And
yes.
The eyes in there?
Yes.
The offense I had?
The one I had. He
Who
was
the
a
hell
coordinator.
Are you? It's we. It's we.
Plus, he was
chump.
Only the coordinator.
No, I know, but even as a head
Listen,
coach, you don't. It's we.
Say
it's
you,
us.
Say what
but
you
if
want,
Bill
say
Walsh
what,
is saying I,
yeah, right.
I think it's pompous. It's, but at least it was correct. His offense.
I hope Billick goes down quickly when
the
season ends.
The other thing about that, say what you want about Denny Green, he's gone to place to place, and one thing he's always had is a
good offense.
Right. So I'm starting to think that was Denny
fraud.
Green's offense,
right.
And Billick was there along for the ride.
That's my point, Tom. I agree with Tom.
Fraud Billick.
It's one thing if you devise the system. It's arrogant and it's pompous, but at least you did it.
Right.
He was along for the ride.
Because I know one thing. If Bill went somewhere else, maybe his team wouldn't be great, but he'd have a good defense.
Right.
That's one thing you can guarantee. So if Billick's team stinks, I want to see him scoring points and losing 45-40.
They had one of those teams in Cleveland that Bill had that allowed like less than 200 points. I mean, that's what he does. He puts together a good defense.
Strippers is back. Apparently that's his woman. She's down south. She's moving back to Connecticut, and he writes she's bi too.
Nice.
So strippers does
He's
it again.
He's a very complex individual.
Yeah, a fine job. You're a lucky man.
Listen, I don't know where that guy from Delaware is, but Casale needs lunch. So if he's not getting it, someone else do it.
The donger
keep in
needs
mind
food.
Now, I have a medical condition. So will someone please help me out? Because I can't
diabetes.
Make it to
the
coming in today.
I have no idea.
We have grillers.
Yeah, thanks.
Are they here now?
This fat man will eat them.
That's why I was wondering where Felger was.
Joel in the Merrimack, New Hampshire. He's had a long email. I'll read a little bit of it. He
Did
says,
you just say in the Merrimack, New Hampshire?
No, in Merrimack, New Hampshire.
Oh, okay.
He's got a long email basically saying that the Cowboys wouldn't beat the Patriots because of the coaching, which I agree. So it doesn't matter how well they play.
That is talent, too. I mean, what's...
He said... if Indy makes it to the AFC Championship, BB and company will wipe them up easier than Casale with a box of Cottonelles and all-you-can-eat Mexican buffet. Andy, Pittsburgh stinks.
We'll find
out.
Worthless
burger, 16 sacks, 3 TDs, 3 interceptions, and 3 games against 2 bad teams and 1 questionable team. I think he means on the road, probably. You're supposed to get better as the season goes along, not worse. Monday night, Patriots walk all over the Ravens.
Were those numbers including the debacle?
Probably.
You can't include the debacle. That game is just throw that out in those conditions. Ridiculous.
So he says, if you haven't blown me up by now, have a cork-soaking weekend, guys. And he likes the Patriots big Monday night.
Good call by you.
No, I like the Patriots big, too. Blowouts are back.
Huge.
As Fred Kirsch would say, the blowouts are back.
Yep. I would like to see Troy Brown do that record.
Well, it would just be a tie, right?
Right.
So,
right. But I'd
Dave's
love to see
back,
him be either tying or the one that gives them the record.
And then Russ Hochstein gives them the record.
So Dave's back. I think he's the guy who yelled at me. He says, I agree you have a kick-ass job. Well, tough guys, can you have Maroney on and let's see you ask him about his 8-year-old hairstyle? I'll say anything to Maroney. I don't care.
And plus,
I have no
we can't have players on.
No. But
to be honest with you, I think you could ask him about his 8-year-old hairstyle.
Yeah.
Now, you're saying he plays like an 8-year-old girl? That's different. I ain't asking him that.
If he comes up to me in the locker room and wants to know about something I wrote, I'll tell him flat out that I don't think you're performing well. You were drafted in the first round. You're not getting the job done. I have no problems
with
that.
As you should.
We only write things that we would say to people's face because we have to go in the locker room every. Yep. We're not Felger. We can't just write something and show up in the locker room once a month. We're there every single day.
Now on the show, sometimes we say things we wouldn't say to their face.
Now the guy I would preface that with is Joey Porter. I have looked at that man clear in the eye. He's a mean mother.
he's a crazy dog.
He scares me. So if he says something to me in the locker room, I'm just going to say yes, sir, and walk out.
Dalis Thomas might be that guy for me in this locker room. I don't know about him.
I got a little of that with a Dalis Thomas.
He might
Thomas.
Be a fraud, and he might be a bully who tries to look like a badass and isn't.
Well, you know what?
But I don't need to find out.
It worked on me. He's got me. No way am I asking him anything tough. I'm a scared of him.
Yeah, he is a kind of
plus
a
Dalis. I've been saying you've been wasted inside for months now. You and I, we're on the same page.
I've never
page,
said anything, anything bad
that
about you him
anything that he could possibly portray as being positive, I've said about him in the past. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
You're a little bit of a Alejandro boy who cried wolf with the injuries.
Alejandro from Bogota. He says, I agree with Tom. PFW needs a web page of its own, and as soon as you start swearing during the show, those ratings will go through the roof. Randy Moss meets his former offensive coordinator, Brian Billick. My question is, how good were those 1998 Vikings, and why did they fail to beat an inferior Falcons team? I know the story of the missed field goal, but there has to be something more to it than just that.
Well, it really doesn't have to be that much more than that. That inferior Falcons team was one game less than
it was 15 and 1
against 14-2. I mean, do you think Pittsburgh walks around to this day saying in 2004 they lost to an inferior Patriots team? In 2004, I don't think that's the case.
They probably do.
No, in 2001 they do, but I don't think they do in 2004. There were two great teams that played, and the Patriots beat them.
Yeah, and I think the Falcons attacked that defense of the Vikings down the field, and that was obviously their Achilles heel. They could score, but a lot of times they just scored so much on you that they took you. That they stayed close and were able to execute their offense. And if I remember correctly, Randall Cunningham had a terrible fumble before the half. He was sacked, and the ball came loose, and that kind of changed.
And the Falcons scored.
Yes, the Minnesota was ahead at that point, and that kind of changed the entire complexion.
I
want to
say
game.
They were up by 10. And
I think you're right.
And they made it a three-point game.
Cut it to three before the half and kind of gave the Falcons the momentum. And I think that's what happened
there. I think it was one of those things that all the little things that you need to pull an upset.
Happened.
And I do think Atlanta was inferior, but not by, it wasn't like the 85 Patriots going into Miami and beating the Dolphins, which, hadn't happened in forever. It was a game that I think the Vikings would have won, say, 7 out of 10, maybe. But the Falcon, look, he missed a chip shot field goal. It was the only field goal he missed the whole year, and he missed it, and they ended up losing.
Okay, strippers, what do we have, 6, 7? Who wins?
He's
Oklahoma. We'll go around the thing here. He says he's an OU fan, and obviously they have the big game this week against Missouri. Some people are expecting a lot of points, like me. hopefully more than 67. He wants to know who wins Oklahoma, Missouri. Andy.
Oklahoma.
Paul.
I got the upset, baby.
He's got Missouri.
I'm going with Missouri, and I think Chase Daniel is going to put up a huge game, and he's going to steal the Heisman.
Really?
Okay.
I think if he wins the game, he has a stake. What do you guys think?
I think it's over. I think Tebow has
Heisman,
it.
But.
Well, I think Tebow has it right now. I think if Daniel goes out and puts up a huge game and he gets his team to the national championship, throws four touchdowns, 400 yards again like he did against Kansas.
I think he'll finish second.
I think he's got a shot.
I think it should be unanimous to give to Tebow. I don't think any people haven't done what he's done. I think in their three losses, he's had two good games in those losses. He only played one poor
game
against
Auburn. But his three worst games are in the three losses.
But I think he's going to get it. I think Daniel is coming from behind.
Oh, I think he's going to get it too.
And you're right. With a big game, I think he really tightens it up there. So
I think even with a big game, I think Tebow's going to win it. But I'm just saying that I think Daniel has a shot to steal it. And it wouldn't necessarily be stealing. I think he would earn it.
Yeah,
but
he definitely, if he wanted, I don't think anybody would complain.
I think Tebow's season has been one for the ages. I just don't think there are that many. I think it's one of those kind of statistical oddity kind of years. I don't think there are that many quarterbacks in the history of college football that could have done that. Doesn't mean that he should lose points for doing it.
Yeah, but he's putting up numbers that
Vince Young could have done it, and he didn't.
But he's putting up numbers that running backs didn't have in terms of touchdowns.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely.
I think he should be the highest.
I just think it's a niche offense. I don't think people ran that offense and had the opportunity to do that. Doesn't mean that
but
he should
scoring.
Lose points.
That's all I'm saying. I mean,
you know what I'm saying? Doesn't
Bo
mean
Jackson
he should
have scored touchdown. You know what I mean? He didn't get in the end zone.
But he couldn't throw for 20 touchdowns.
No, I know, but
I'm just saying
flat rushing touchdowns.
Vince Young could have done
ridiculous
it. He was a guy
numbers.
That could have, that threw and ran.
If he was
well
a running back with 22, whatever he's got, that's a ridiculous number for a running back.
I will go with Oklahoma in this game for two reasons. One, Missouri had the very emotional game against Kansas last week. And two, Bob Stoops in a big game. I think he just lets everything go in this game. He's one of those guys that I know Oklahoma's favorite in this game, but I'm just talking Missouri's number one, obviously, so the game means more to them. I think Stoops is one of those guys you like to have, you know, sneaking around the chicken coop because he'll do the fake punts. Yeah. He'll do the onside kicks. I think it's going to be a heck of a game. I think it's going to go right down to the wire.
I think Oklahoma's better. I agree with Tom. I think that when they played in Norman, and that was a game that we were on the road and watched
yes,
a lot of.
Yes, it was
a
very entertaining
game. It was a great game and could have gone either way. And Oklahoma won
it
at the
end.
That's
when we were in Dallas.
You know, they ended up winning by 10. I think it was a 41-31 game, something like that. It was a high-scoring 10-point game, but it was close.
Which would get me over. But that was the game when Oklahoma was playing Missouri. We were in Dallas, and Fred's famous comment, "Why are there so many Oklahoma fans here?" That's Fred Kirsch.
Or Kurtz.
Okay, I got to read this one because the title is Andy and Paul Stink.
This is a surprise.
This is Todd from Nova Scotia.
Oh, Todd's a regular, man.
He said, hey, Tom, did you see Jerry Jones pat Jason Garrett on the back after the game? What are the chances that after the Cowboys lose in the Super Bowl, they fire Phillips and promote Garrett?
Good.
Yeah. Did you see
Do you really think that?
He didn't. He wanted Garrett anyway. He just didn't have the stones.
This isn't anything about you two.
Oh, he just put that in the.
Boy, did he reel you in like
just
a sucker.
He just put that in the subject?
Talk what? About getting your email read. Put Paul and Andy Stink in the title, then have the email about the Cowboys.
Right.
Good work,
like
Todd
that
from
guy,
Nova Scotia.
I thought
he usually likes us.
They put Andy is great, and then the email never says anything about Andy being great.
That is how you get your email
yep.
read.
We're pretty simple.
I actually like Todd, too, but. I don't know if I like the way he got that email read.
Who's this now? We have Luis from Tampa. I know it's not football related. I better read this first before I read it on the air. Oh.
I love when the little
wheels
are spinning.
I know it's an uncomfortable subject, but can you help me with the spelling of those wipes, cotton, so I can Google them? It's cotton L C O. Andy, go. You take it from there.
You couldn't even get through it.
T-T-O-N-E-L-L-E.
Yeah.
Cottonelle wipes. They're right in your store.
C O T T O N E L L E.
It's a company. They make toilet paper too, and they make a nice wipe. It comes in a little plastic tub. You're all set. You put them by every toilet in your house, and your butt will never hurt again.
Strippers, number 7. How big was Andy when he was on the juice? Body weight and bench press max. Andy.
Body weight, probably about 217 is where I topped out at. Bench max was 425.
The best part about that was him
never disputing the juice part. Yes, I noticed that.
You were lying your ass off.
No, I didn't. I didn't try to dispute it. I'm not lying.
Okay, this is from Ben from Bible
Dover.
Hill. No, Ben from Bible Hill, Nova Scotia. Is that a new person?
I believe that is a new one.
But back to 2 out of 3 from Nova Scotia. We're big north of the border.
Yes.
Isn't that near Maine? Can you get there right up by Maine?
I don't know, but I'm not happy with the state of Delaware right now. If someone says they're going to send you food. They don't send you food.
You send it. Maybe you give it a little time. We've got 15, 20 minutes before we rip them.
He says, hey, guys, just interested in your thoughts on what the perception from the media would be on the Patriots should they go 16-0 in the regular season and then lose the playoffs or the Super Bowl. Would they still be thought of as the second undefeated team or just a very, very good team that came up short? Also, this question is for Tom. Do you see any scenario with draft picks or trades that would see Marion Barber coming to New England? And who would he rather have as a Patriot, Barber or McFadden? Keep up the great work. This is hands down the most entertaining podcast available, even if we have to endure Eric's mumblings on Friday. Well, I won't be hard on you since you're new. Marion Barber's not going to come here.
No chance.
Not going to give up Marion Barber for anything. And I think now the whole Jerry Jones McFadden thing is getting blown way out of proportion. Like he's going to give up everything he owns.
Right.
I'm sure
two
he likes
ones,
Darren,
Barber yeah. and
I'm
Romo.
Sure he likes Darren McFadden, but I'm not so sure that he's going to give up everything. So what do you think about the undefeated thing?
Well, we started talking about this a little bit yesterday.
Yeah.
I think they'd be an undefeated team, but all the talk of greatest team ever or any of those things go out the window. I think if you go undefeated through the regular season, you're an undefeated team in the regular season. I mean,
but I think
it is what it is.
It's hard because it's unprecedented. It's never happened.
Right.
You know, the only team that was perfect stayed perfect.
Right.
So there's nothing really to compare it to. But I do think, yeah, they'll be considered undefeated. But I don't think you'll put him in the category to talk about the best. Got to
win them all,
right?
Because you have to win them all,
right? Mm-hmm. And then they'll really probably start to talk about, well, the league was down, maybe they weren't quite. And I know that they've beat some pretty good teams to get to where they are, but the overall view of the league might have. Well, see, they beat up on a week. They had the Jets and the Bills, and you start talking about why they were undefeated and couldn't get going.
Go ahead, Tom.
No, I was going to say, I actually think if they go 16-0 and don't win the Super Bowl, that would be more of a disappointment than if they went 14-2, because you're supposed to be by far the best team in the league. That's a huge disappointment.
The biggest issue is the Super Bowl.
Right. Like I was going to say, the ironic part, you know, we're saying the one loss in the playoffs would keep them out of, you know, the greatest of all time conversation. But if they lose to the Steelers and win the Super Bowl, I think they're very much in the greatest of all time status. And it's the same one. It's the same one loss, but the perception is everything. If you win the title, you have to be in that conversation.
Exactly. TG and NJ, he says, oh, my God, you definitely have the best job. People send you food. They send you porn. You can say pretty much whatever you want over the air. You get to rip on Felger while he's in the same room, something lots of fans would love to do. You get to see all the games, work in the same building with Christina Acra, and you get to talk about football all day. The worst part of the gig is just dealing with each other.
And the paycheck.
that was maybe the most accurate email we've ever had since.
It is.
Yeah.
Lucky.
TG and NJ.
Did we touch on the fact that apparently Bill Belichick coaches the Celtics now after their 50?
I just never swore that game. I'm not sure who coaches the Knicks, but whoever it was yesterday, it shouldn't be today.
Well, it's Isaiah Thomas.
Isaiah.
And,
no,
you know, they keep him around because he put such a nice face on the organization.
Right.
It's not the basketball. It's the off-the-court stuff he does well.
He may not win a lot of games, but the Knicks don't really have any negative stories surrounding him. So he really does a nice job of keeping the organization's name clean.
Pictures he must have. Probably almost as good as the pictures Marbury must have
of
Isaiah. A lot of good pictures in that Madison Square Garden.
Sam from Denmark, he talks about Ray Lewis being a jerk yesterday about opening up with the Sean Taylor thing and everything. But he wants to know, would you trade a second-round pick for D'Angelo Hall?
Yes.
I think he's one of the biggest idiots in the league, but he does have a lot of talent. Plays at a higher level than Hobbs and is still very young. Whether Samuel comes back or not next year, I feel like we can use an upgrade like that.
I like D'Angelo Hall. I always have. I know he's done and said some things he shouldn't have, but I've always liked him. Maybe a little immature, but I don't think he's an idiot. I think he's a smart guy. I think he's a confident guy, and I think he's a pretty good cornerback.
By all accounts, he is not an idiot. I mean,
I fell in love with him when he stopped by the combine to say hello.
That was great. Then gave us his scouting report on the receivers.
He was tremendous.
But I don't think there's
He did say Santonio Holmes would be by far the best receiver in that draft class.
And if there's any one it's immaturity. You know, he's gotten into some things where he's done some things he shouldn't have. So Patriots fans can't hate him because they're in love with the receiver they got that's been immature in the past.
And he's a hothead, too. I mean, that's all. But I think that there's no way you're getting him for a second round pick.
No, I don't think so either. But
absolutely, I'd be trading one for him.
Everything you can say about Randy Moss, say about D'Angelo Hall with Bobby Petrino and the Falcons.
This isn't to put down Wes Welker, okay? But looking at their careers right now before they were traded, if you were going to give a second-round pick for Wes Welker, you can't get one out fast enough for D'Angelo Hall. You're talking about having possibly a combination of two of the best five corners in the league. That's a pretty good deal.
And there's not nearly enough negative surrounding D'Angelo Hall that it would put him in a Randy Moss situation, that you got Randy Moss for a fourth rounder. There's not enough of that.
There will be teams lined up to
now,
get D'Angelo Hall.
3 years from now, if you have three more years of Hall having these periodic, you know, episodes where he's costing teams games with bad unsportsmanlike conduct penalties, then maybe you can get him for a dime on the dollar.
And I do think he has a little Ellis Hobbs in him, where he might think he's a little better than he is at this point.
Oh.
I think he thinks he's Deion and he's a good corner.
Yes.
But I'll
take it. Deion had some of that before he was Deion.
Right.
So, Andy in Sioux City, he says it's not so obvious that the Super Bowl will be the Pats and the Cowboys, because he says, when's the last time two teams that looked like they were be in the Super Bowl actually got there? I would say the Eagles and the Patriots.
Right, sure.
They were on a collision course all year.
That's probably the last time.
And I think this is one of these seasons where that's what it's going to be.
Right.
It's going to be the Cowboys. It's going to be the Patriots. We all knew it, and that's just how it's going to be. Because looking at it last night, if that's the second-best team in the NFC, no shot. Not in the playoffs, in Dallas, no chance against the Cowboys, I don't think.
Certainly not with Favre.
Maybe Seattle catches fire, I don't know, because they throw the ball, and that's where Dallas' weakness is. no one's beating the Patriots, so they're going
but
to the Super Bowl.
I don't think Seattle's defense can
handle it. I don't either. That's why I think it's a collision
course. I don't see either
team
getting beaten. I mean, it could happen. Maybe neither of them will go, but I don't see a team that I'd say I'll pick them.
Yeah, that's true. And the email is right. And we've had teams that we thought were on collision course. I mean, Indianapolis certainly looked unbeatable in 05. Right. They didn't get there. But, you know, I just look at this, and I think there's a bigger gap between 1 and 2 than there have been for most years.
Yeah, I
think
agree.
We were right, Paul. Breaking news on ESPN.com or ESPN News. Police detained 3 in Sean Taylor homicide. I think when they said that it looks random, we don't.
I
think they were trying to reel in some people that they
random.
Knew were the.
They cut the phone line.
Yeah.
Robbers always do that.
Right.
They always take the time to. I mean, like we said, what is this, a movie? That's what you see in a horror movie. Is this Scream?
The story when they were told Taylor was in his bedroom and heard someone in the house. Locked the bedroom door and had his fiance and his child hiding under the covers. And this guy, whoever it was, or guy or guys, whatever, picked the lock of the bedroom knowing that there were the people that were in there. Now, that's not a random burglary.
Right.
Okay, they went in there specifically to get Sean Taylor. Right. I don't think they tried to kill him. I think they shot him in the groin to send some sort of message. But they didn't care. They were trying to maim him, I think. But this was not a random act. There's no way it was a random act.
Booyah!
I'll tell you. Nathan in Delaware.
Good job, Nathan. You came through. Sorry I blasted you. It's just
Ethan,
a low
Ethan
rules. Ethan, I'm sorry. I have low blood sugar getting to me. You know, it's
Ethan.
One more quick,
good job, Mini Gary.
One more quick email. Eric from Cape Cod. He says, yes, I also spell my name with a K. Please don't lump me in with that Scalavino kid.
It is what it is.
Well, he says he wants to know if there's any way that fans can get the coaches film like the networks do. That would be no, right?
We can't.
Yeah, we can't. And he says, if it isn't available, throw your weight around. You guys definitely have enough weight. Just look at Andy's head, Paul's body, quite the mental image, combined that they have to weigh at least as much as Tom thinks he can bench.
That's a good point right there. I like that email.
You guys weigh about 600 pounds?
Sure, we don't weigh as much as you think you can bet.
Hey,
while you're doing your little pansy 2-minute workout
I don't lift heavy anymore. I realize that, hey, I'm approaching 40 soon. I don't need to be lifting all that weight and putting ruining my body. Andy just came to the conclusion I didn't have to lift anymore. So
I had a kid. I'll be back someday.
Andy's got probably half a wing in his mouth. Paul looks like he's about to jump over the table and eat me, so we better take a break. Mini Gary, hit the button.
He's been a 3-time champion, 2-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
3 touchdown passes in the first half.
Now Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats! Woo! Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today.
Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Back here, PFW in progress, Friday afternoon, and we are enjoying a tremendous spread provided from Ethan in Delaware, is it? Ethan, wherever you are, send an email in, webradiopatriots.com. We'd love to read your email. We'd love to praise you. If anyone wants to call in, Craig, if you're out there, if you didn't get a job and you're just ignoring us or mad at us, feel free to call. Tom's not in the room right now. By the time he gets back, he'll be hosting again, and he'll be upset when you call, so it'll be funny. 508-543-7482. 508-543-7482. Webradiopatriots.com. I'm not going to read any emails because I'm not sitting in front of the computer. But, Paul.
Nor am I.
You are enjoying that steak and cheese.
I am.
The full 12 steak and cheese.
I never have a steak and cheese sub either. It's a very rare occurrence for me.
Well, I'm glad you're enjoying
that. So I
stole
that. Fred's sandwich because he's not here.
But, Ethan, we do feel like we owe you an email. So, you know, send it in. We'll read whatever your opinions
are. Thank you very much, Ethan. It was very nice.
Ethan, the emailer of the day. And I need to apologize in general to our fans and our listeners because I know they're not all fans of me. I doubted them. I thought our food run was over. I was starving yesterday. I thought we were done. I send in food. Starving today. I think we're single-handedly keeping Papa Gino's in business, as these PFW listeners just continue to do a fine job sending us lunch. But more importantly, Paul, you think we'll see any interesting fireworks? Is there any chance that Adalys Thomas, like, gets a sack and does anything? Or is there anything, or is that thing just
has
totally
some sort of convulsion on the field like Ray Lewis?
Yeah.
To mock him?
Anything? Or is that all just done? That's gone?
I don't know. I think that, you know, it was funny. That was the... that was the part I kind of got annoyed with Ray Lewis with on that conference call yesterday.
Yeah, he was a fraud. He is a fraud in general.
In my opinion, he used a tragedy
to
deflect
cover up
the fact
stupidity.
That he's a fraud.
Right. You called Adalys Thomas a coward.
And what does the fact that Sean
sudden,
Taylor died
right.
have to do with you not being able to suddenly talk about football?
Right.
Then don't do the conference call.
Right.
You said that you weren't going to do it. Don't do it.
Right.
If you really can't talk about football.
Talking about unlikable players, Ray Lewis is very, very unlikable.
I have no use for Ray Lewis.
On so many levels. Fraud of a football player, we've seen that.
He's a good player. I don't think he's ever been as good as
he can't take on blocks. I think he's a bully. If he's not getting out on top making plays, I think he turns into a pansy, starts pointing the fingers at his offense, his teammates, whatever it is. But as a preacher, goes off on his little radio show and rips Adalys Thomas, calls him a coward. I think he's a fraud. I think maybe Adalys Thomas called him on it, and then he got scared. Because Adalys Thomas, maybe he isn't a fake bad man. Maybe he is a bad man.
I don't think he's fake.
Who, Adalys Thomas?
Yeah.
Ray Lewis is a fraud, and I've lost any respect.
I
think Bill said it yesterday, when what he thinks of Ray Lewis is a football player. I think you can take half the tackles and give them to the guys up front.
Two things. One, on Wednesday when he went through the whole thing with the Ravens, you know, like he always
does.
Can
I eat again?
You know, when Bill did the whole rundown of the Ravens defense, I thought it was telling that he left out Ray Lewis, really. He talked specifically about Nada and Greg, specifically about McAllister and Roll, specifically about Ed Reed, and specifically about Terrell Suggs, and even Bart Scott.
Yep.
And then he just mentioned Lewis when he was going all the different players. He just said Lewis and Scott inside. He kind of passed over him. And then yesterday, your point that you just made, and he's talking about, I think if he wanted to give half the tackles that Ray Lewis is credited with to Greg for directing the people right to him. I think that was a subtle way of saying the whole thing about the linebackers need to be protected in order to make tackles. You know, the Patriots don't play that way, number one. And number two, I think that was a shot directed at Ray Lewis.
And you know Bill doesn't respect that style defense either.
No.
No, but I do think there was a four-year period where he was the best in the game. Back when,
I don't think he's a bad player.
I mean, I think you guys are right. He has been. He's kind of had the Favre where they keep talking. Back when they were still talking about Junior Seau being the best in the game on ESPN, I used to say Ray Lewis is the best in the game, and they just haven't come up with a funny nickname for him. See, I thought it was funny because back then, I didn't think he got the respect he deserved, and then here we are years later, and he's one of those guys who just keeps getting too much respect.
I think he's still a guy that you say, could you put him somewhere else? Would he have been the same? Sort of, you know how they talk about Brady's or quarterbacks? Are they system guys? Could he be the same elsewhere?
Yeah, but I think that's more of now we're going to. I'm talking about before the Super Bowl. I'm talking about like earlier on in his career.
I still think that
he wasn't playing in the same system all the time.
But his complaints to me about not having guys in front of him were as telling as anything anyone could say about him. And that's what I wonder about. And I wonder, you know, if you put Brian Urlacher in that defense, surrounded by those players, would we have seen Urlacher surpass what he did? And I know Urlacher has good guys around him, too, but I'm just trying to think of an athletic playmaker. And I just wonder, I think Lewis's own comments were the most telling question.
I think that's more later on in his career. I'm just talking about earlier in his career.
And Adalys Thomas agrees with me because he brought it up when he fired back at him.
Yeah, but Adalys Thomas is coming after what Tom is talking about.
No, I know.
So I think the truth is probably
he's a product of the system, and I think someday if we get
I think he was a pretty good.
Yeah, this is one of those things. Randy's never going to change his mind about it.
Well,
so
no, you know what?
No, no, you're right.
This is one of those things where I want down the line maybe Bill do one of those film sessions and go, look here, the Ravens, and I mean this is what you can do to Ray Lewis.
But I'm not
it was
even
easy.
Saying he isn't overrated. I'm just saying there was a little span there where I thought he was as good as people are saying he was. 3-4 years later.
That's the thing about those terms that we throw around all the time. You can be overrated and still be a great player.
Yeah.
I think he was a great player.
We have one of those guys here, Junior Seau.
Who also happened to be overrated for large stretches of his career.
Well, all Seau was a run stuffer.
that was funny.
We do have Steve from Edmonton. Is he on the horn? Steve.
Hey, boys.
What's going on?
Not much. I got laid off 2 days ago, so I'm
trying
to fill my days with something. Normally listen to you guys on the podcast, but I actually get to listen to you live now.
Steve, you don't have to worry about sending lunch. If you're a little out of money right now, don't worry about it. We're okay.
No,
yeah, just don't let us know when you get a new job.
I work a seasonal job. I get laid off when it snows every year.
Oh, what do you do?
I work survey.
A land surveying?
Yeah.
Oh, I did that for a few years back in my day.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, looking through the little thing for the guy in the woods down the street a mile away?
Not anymore, buddy.
Oh, what do you got, GPS?
We have a GPS. We walk around with a big stick. It tells us where to work.
Back in my day, we actually had to work for a day's pay. You people got it easy these days.
Oh, you stand up on a hill? How is that working more than walking around?
I don't know.
Lugging a 30-pound rod.
Well, geez.
I don't know what the hell
you're
talking about.
You're doing okay with yourself. You got a 30-pound rod. Steve, I'm not one for manual labor, so you better get to the football quick or I'm going to blow you up.
All righty. You're talking about Ray Lewis and how he gets more respect than he deserves. It really reminds me of Teddy Bruschi.
There you go.
I think you can give Wilfork half of Teddy Bruschi's tackles, and Wilfork deserves as much respect as Bill's given Greg.
There's no question, and I think it might be similar comparison, too, in that there's no question at some point Teddy Bruschi was a good player for this team, made some big plays for this team, but you look at the stats now, and it says leading tackler Teddy Bruschi. That's fraudulent.
Yeah.
And that's right. Vince Wilfork is having 10 times the year that Teddy Bruschi is having, and a lot of other guys on this defense are, but I think you could get people that would say defensive MVP for this team, Vince Wilfork.
I agree. I know Fred's not there, but I'd just like to say Regina is how you pronounce the town in Saskatchewan. It's a little more like that part of the anatomy that you guys always giggle about when that...
So I was right when I said that initially, the very first time this was on here.
I said that a million times, and every time Fred says it, I say it's Regina, and he laughs at me.
Oh, okay. You tell him Steve from Edmonton told him how to say it right.
I know that from my
and
college
he knows
hockey
a Regina
players.
When he sees it.
That's right.
All right, well, thanks, Steve. We appreciate the call.
No problem. Take care.
See you, Steve.
His 30-pound rod knows a good Regina when he sees it.
Ethan is the one who sent us the food. We'd like to say thanks. Mm-hmm. And we have the best listeners in the world. I mean, hey, the big show has more listeners, but they're not as dedicated and not as loyal as our listeners.
And we appreciate it.
Yeah, we do
appreciate
it.
You guys don't understand how much we talk about this, how happy we are.
We tell everybody.
People like us
on
this
the road,
much.
We tell everybody about you
this
guys.
This is like the pride of our work day. This is like we're so proud that we have this little relationship with our listeners.
Yeah, and I want to go back to a listener.
I
had a problem with Joey Feep. I believe, and by the way, Feep, I don't even know why.
Feep.
I don't even know what our fight was about. Like, it was draft day, and all of a sudden he sent in an email, said he was done with the show. I believe it was some sort of argument over Lawrence Maroney and D'Angelo Williams. But, Joey, let me tell you, those are two players we shouldn't be arguing over. So, even Joey Feep, I say we put all that behind us because we were both wrong, probably.
You know what's funny about D'Angelo Williams? I think I called him a poor man's Reggie Bush, and he is. They both suck.
Yeah.
To varying degrees, but they both suck. So I think the comparisons with Reggie Bush should stay right where they are.
But Ethan has emailed in. He said he doesn't blame me for getting upset. I blame Eric and Papa Gino's. Papa Gino's for putting me on hold for 15 minutes, and Eric for ruining my reputation after that raffle ticket debacle. Oh, is this the guy with the raffle tickets? Yeah, that was a whole, that thing was all, that was a farce. It really was.
It was fixed. Don't worry about it.
Eric is a farce.
Yeah, he
is
a fraud. He says, now for my actual question. I know it would be a risk, but do you think it might be helpful to put Maroney back on kick returns? He showed good instincts last year with it, and maybe with some good open field running, he can get out of his head and back to running on instincts.
I think that's not a bad idea.
I think that's a great idea.
I do.
What do you think? He was good at it. I think Hobbs was better.
Because he can't think. He's got to run.
Yeah.
He's got to just hit it up.
Because you know what's going on, Andy, as I said yesterday.
What?
With his confidence.
He's thinking.
Crisis of confidence.
Oh, yeah. That was that good phrase you stole.
Yeah, yeah.
Where'd you steal that from?
Life.
Channel 7 News in Boston. Crisis and confidence.
And for Tom, do you really think having an elite running back on this offense is a real weakness? Wouldn't a top-flight young linebacker on the defense be a bigger improvement? I know Marion Barber is not coming to New England, but what do you think of Julius Jones coming to the Patriots? He is a free agent this year and is decent enough to have a threat of a running game. I don't think you need a top-flight running back in this offense.
You certainly don't now,
no.
But might you next year if you lose, say, Moss and Stallworth? And then, you know, couple that with several losses on defense. Hey, Felge, if you lost a bunch of that, which, matter of fact, now that Felge walks in, which he wrote about today, the potential to have really a mass overhaul in terms of turnover. Because you could lose a lot of talented players through no fault of your own. I mean, depending on how the contracts work out, you can have Samuel, Moss, Stallworth. The list goes on and on, not to mention the older guys that have a potential to retire.
Not to mention the not talented players like Eugene Wilson, who's just a healthy scratch.
Julius Jones is trash. I'm not going to listen. The guy runs with his head
down. He's a good
backup
NFL
back. He's a good backup. If you want to bring him in to back up the guy who does the same thing now.
I mean, he's a Sammy Morris type, I think. He'll have a nice little career bouncing around 2 years with this team, 2 years with that team.
I think Sammy Morris is a little bit better than him, a little tougher between the tackles. Listen, I'm just telling you.
I think they're both just guys.
Julius Jones stinks.
Moment number 12, when I predicted a Tom Casale explosion last night, was the 4th and 2 that they ran him on.
Man, you don't know how mad I was. I just said to Andy, you got the best short yardage back in the league, one of the best. You put in a guy, what did he do? He put his head down and ran back on the back of his offensive lineman, didn't do anything. Then later in the game,
they ran Barber on a 3rd and 1, and he almost took it to the house.
But he ran in where there wasn't anything, and boom, made the jump cut and went to the hole. But, yeah, I mean, as a backup, fine. We have one subject, toilet paper lawsuit. Hey, Tom, I don't know if you've heard about this yet, but apparently some woman filed a lawsuit against Kmart for taxing toilet paper, and she won. I know it's not the direct blow to the toilet paper companies like you wanted, but it's a start. Thought you would like to hear about it. Yeah, I'll get the toilet paper industry. Don't worry.
What's your problem with the toilet paper industry?
Oh, no one should ever be using toilet paper. Those Cottonelle wipes that Andy turned me on to, that's like a whole new world.
We've gone to wipes.
Whole new world.
I've got a whole segment of friends who've sworn to them and will never go back.
And you shouldn't. Felger, it's the best feeling
in
the world. I won't
even allow toilet paper in my house anymore. Like I have turned so much to those wipes. It's unbelievable.
We're all in agreement.
Felger household?
Well, I have, and I've left feeling a little moist. It's a little...
You're always a little moist, you little fairy.
I was going to say, leave it to Felger to ruin something really good.
It's an adjustment, though.
It's great. There's no adjustment. We told the listeners all the players use them. They're always putting them under their arm before they go to the men's room and the locker room. And
Larry Izzo usually leads that charge.
Yes, Larry Izzo. And all
paper under one arm, wipes under the other.
We got people trying it, and they're loving it.
Well, I mean, don't you work for the toilet paper mavens?
Kraft Group or IFP makes toilet paper?
Don't they make all paper products?
I'm against them, then.
They pushed
wipes.
Pulp.
That's a different company, by the way.
Dave, the guy who does not like me,
he
says, I guess I'm one of the few Maroney supporters in the country, but I see the guy can do it. He only has 105 attempts, and Barber has 180 plus. He has a 4.4 yard per carry average, and Barber has a 4.9. Not sure where your argument is there.
That's a half a yard.
Plus, maybe Maroney would have more attempts if he didn't miss games. And
then listen, that's the question.
That's
just
the
on the sideline.
That's
the question. Why does he only have 105 attempts?
That's what the fans aren't getting. Bill Belichick, Felger, I want to ask you this. If Bill Belichick has a guy that could help him win football games, won't he get him the football somehow, some way?
I think he started in the second half against Philly. Maroney had a few nice runs, and he saw the ball a few times. I think that's sort of kind of what happened. He does 1,000%.
Where were the nice runs?
I thought he had he had 1 10-yarder, didn't he?
I don't know. His longest run
I thought
of
the season
was
but he only had 10 for 31 in the game.
Yeah. So 3.1.
I think he had one for 10 yards. I think he had that touchdown run.
The touchdown run I thought was a nice run.
Good run. Yep.
Yes.
There was one where he made, was it Cole? I can't remember the guy's name now. He made a linebacker miss real badly at the second level. It was a good run. I think it was 10 yards.
Okay. Well, when he gets a 20-yard run, give me a call.
I'm not telling you that he's good, but I agree with your initial statement.
No, but my point is
he'll get the ball if he shows he deserves it.
But Bill will get the ball to guys that can help him win games.
Categorically.
And for some reason, whether it's immaturity, whether it's something in the locker room, whether it's something on the field, right now he doesn't believe that Maroney is a huge part of the offensive game plan.
That's right.
So that's the only question I have. If he can do it, why isn't Bill giving him more of an opportunity to do it? And that's the question that only Bill can answer. And maybe I'll ask him at the next press conference. I'm sure he'll give us the direct answer on that. What do you got going on, Felger?
Well, you tell me, did Brady defend his guy Randy Moss today? You there?
Brady. It's Friday, Felger.
Apparently, there were quotes on the internet where Tom Brady was...
He had a one-on-one with Reese.
Yes, he had a one-on-one.
Was ripping jaws. Oh, was that with Reese?
Yes, it was one-on-one, and I didn't see the quotes. He was ripping jaws?
Apparently so.
Do you know what he said?
I just heard it on the radio coming in, so I'm just...
Hey,
Mini right
Gary,
now, so.
Check...
I was not in the locker room today,
blog.
So I didn't even know that Brady spoke.
I think ripping jaws is a little strong, but he was defending Moss on the
Well, here's
situation.
The thing, Felger, and I'd like to get your opinion on this. Jaws isn't a guy who takes cheap shots, really. He's, like Bill said, an NFL guy. He breaks down tape.
Right.
He showed on ESPN last night the plays he was talking about,
and
he had very valid points to back, evidence to back up what he was saying. What do you think about that? Do you think he's out of line?
Why would he be out of line? I mean,
just
that's totally
your opinion.
It's Randy Moss's character, is it not? I mean, that's his MO. For as brilliant as he is outside the numbers, As brilliant as he is down the field, he doesn't love going over the middle, and he can be muscled. That's been the book on him for 10 years.
But don't you think that makes Jaws' comments a little fraught? I have a problem with Jaws' comments because I think we saw the exact same Randy Moss in Indy. The only difference is he made the big play late. They won the game. He was a nice story of the comeback.
Were they pressing him? I don't think they were.
They were hitting him, and he was running inside, and he was alligator-arming it. He had no interest. I've seen two or three games where I think he's dogged it a little, but they were winning. It was a good story. Jaws, if you're watching all this tape, you should have seen this too. Why are we pulling it out 1 week and saying this is the first time I've seen all year?
Well, I thought Lito Shepard played him on the line and pressed him on the line more than any D-back we've seen all year.
But Jaws was saying that he was dogging it, that he, your thing from the very beginning, basically.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
and I think Jaws is being, maybe he hasn't seen those games. Maybe he, these guys were talking about, you know, it was a Monday night game. Maybe he hasn't seen as much tape on Moss and he started to look and was whatever, but I think it was a little disingenuous. I think Randy Moss has done the exact same thing he did Sunday night earlier in the year.
Randy says Randy Moss not trying all season.
At different times, I think he's taken a few plays off. And it gets glossed over because he catches the bomb, and everybody's patting him on the back, and he's the smartest football player ever.
See, I don't mind the taking plays off. As Tom says here in these quotes, and I'm going to paraphrase here, that sprinters, when you're running down the field 59 times, he said we threw the ball 59 times, he's going to have to pace himself, and I buy that. So you take a playoff. I don't have a problem with that. What I have a problem with is the guy who gets physical coverage and then won't try and fight through the physical coverage. He just sort of gives
up
against
the comeback
guy who's
jamming. To Brady.
I mean, that is Randy Moss. He's
the comeback to Brady should be, well, Tom, one of the things Jaws showed was Moss going down a seam route and him not running hard. You throwing the ball where he was supposed to be, and when he wasn't there, you swore and yelled something and made a gesture. So if
this was all on ESPN last night?
Yes, they showed it. Jaws showed the whole thing. Brady was not happy with Moss. He said something to him. So if you don't care, then why did you, you know, what was the problem with that play? That's what I would have asked him, but I'm.
Yeah, it's one thing for Jaworski to come out and say, I looked at the tape and I saw, you know, signs that he wasn't playing hard. And it's another thing for him to break out two or three plays that you're using as your examples and then showing it, and then you can make a determination on your own. So that's why I think that, you know, like you guys said, Jaws is one of those guys I think that has respect of people in the game today because he doesn't take cheap shots and he does do some work. He's a prepared guy, watches a lot of tape.
And Bill showed respect when he was asked about it.
Absolutely.
As much as he's going to show respect when asked.
Because if he didn't like him, he'd say, ask him for his opinion.
I'm sure he'll give it to you.
I think if Sean Salisbury says the same thing that Jaworski said, it is a different answer from Belichick today at the press conference.
Jaws.
I mean, I'm sorry, you guys tell me. I mean, we've had this debate all year. You accept Randy Moss for those failings. And
sure.
Apparently Brady does, too.
So, I mean, you
Brady and I are looking
I don't
at the
really
same
love
stat
Brady's
sheet.
Comments.
No, I didn't like the Brady's comments, but
I don't really like the
I still
excuse
like Moss.
Making and the.
Well, so you don't have a problem with Randy Moss taking plays off and dogging it?
If these 11 games are the examples of he took some plays off and dogged it, no, I don't have a problem.
Yeah, I can live with it.
See, and again, to me, it's the taking plays off. Every receiver does that.
Right.
It is when you get in playoff games and big games late in the year and you play good defensive teams, you're going to get hit.
To go to your point,
so you've got to fight
Paul,
through it.
We just talked about the play Marion Barber almost took it to the house.
Yeah.
The reason he did not take it to the house was T.O. decided to play a little game with Al Harris and didn't make a block, and that cost the Cowboys a touchdown. And you could say, well, T.O. took that play off because he didn't do his job. So I think you're right. I'm sure if we broke down Chad Johnson, Steve Smith,
all
everybody
receivers.
Else.
And
you know,
they all
had
issues.
Everybody's Hines Ward.
I mean, they all have issues. I mean, we were joking about the T.O. drop in the end zone that turns into a pick. We make fun of Marvin Harrison because he gets down, and then when he gets nicked up, he stands on the sideline in crunch time. I mean, all these receivers, it seems like you got to take with the good with the bad. Chad Johnson clearly has some baggage he brings with him, so
they're all flawed. The reason I would take it, to answer Mike's original question, is because I look at it like Red Sox fans with Manny and with Ortiz. You know, if you're going to tell me that the examples of them dogging it are Ortiz isn't going to run hard on the ground ball to second base, which, by the way, he never does, and Manny's going to hit a ball off the top of the wall every once in a while and only get a single, which he always does.
I love it.
I can put up with that for the entire package. I can put up with Moss. If this is the example where, you know, a guy like Ron Jaworski is looking at a game against the Eagles in week 12 or whatever week it is, and he's saying, I saw some signs that he wasn't necessarily playing hard, and you have to search for them, I can put up with that. Now, if
just
I'm
don't
watching,
tell me it's not happening. That's my
no,
sort of issue.
No, you, I well, kind of feel like that's what Jaws was doing. It wasn't happening the first 10 weeks, and it was.
Yeah, it was happening.
And
it
I
just
think
wasn't
he catches the bomb
much.
Against the Eagles, and they don't call pass interference, and Randy Moss has the exact same game he's had all year long.
No one's talking about it if he catches that bomb.
I think the only thing that I've had a that I thought where he looked like he was dogging it was those balls over the middle. He's
yes.
not comfortable.
Yeah, he
going
does
over
not want to
okay,
over
I'll
the
give you an example. Even in,
I don't think
Indy,
anybody even thinks that.
The right. fantastic one-handed catch that he made in Indy. Jaw-dropping catch. Don't you think that was because he didn't want to get hit?
Absolutely.
Categorically. That's part of it.
I didn't hear Jaws ripping him that week.
Because right. he made an unbelievable catch,
and
just like if he had made that catch on the bomb.
At the end of the
so
game.
One could argue that Randy Moss has been Randy Moss all along, and Jaws is the fraud, because now he's deciding to call him out because
well,
he held him down.
Let's put the brakes okay. on that. Jaws is a big
well,
fan.
I know you think Jaws,
Jaws
loves
is a big
PFW.
Fan of PFW.
He doesn't know who we are. He doesn't care.
He gets them all. He gets them all, and Patriots Football Weekly is
sure
by far the best.
Isn't listening to the podcast.
Let's quickly go
I just
to want to
put the brakes on that. He was a guest of John Rooks.
We're going to Jaws?
No, for our last call of the day from Chris in the Bronx. Now, Chris, you sent an email, and you said the crisis of confidence comes from a Jimmy Carter speech in the 70s. I'm shocked to hear that the word crisis came from a Jimmy Carter speech because he was such a good president.
It is a surprise, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's who yeah, Paul is stealing
I guess
from?
Everything wasn't so hunky-dory in the...
Anytime you watch a movie, anytime you watch a movie, and there's something bad going on from like the, it's always when Jimmy Carter was the president. Was
yeah, they always show him, and then we beat the Russians in hockey, and everything's great.
Yeah.
Was that the same speech, caller, where he said we're in a malaise? U.S.
I think it might have been.
Oh
yeah,
the malaise speech. Yeah. That's what it's known as, right?
I just what I remember.
It's kind of like when Dvorkin runs the show; he brings everything to a malaise.
That's what it's yeah. known as.
See in there?
He was a little too honest, I think, for a politician.
So what do you got going, Chris?
He may have
Chris?
Been the worst president we've ever had.
Yeah, I think
certainly
so.
In the modern era.
From what I've ever yeah. what I've heard.
He builds houses for poor people, though.
Habitat for Humanity,
job.
Yeah.
Very smart
I'm curious,
guy.
Nice guy.
In terms of signings for next year, just looking ahead, who can the Patriots afford, and who do you think they're going to want? I mean, it seems like after this past game against the Eagles, they have to have Asante Samuel or at least one shutdown corner. So I'm curious if, you know, between Moss and Samuel and maybe some of the other receivers, who are they going to hold on to? Who would you hold on to? How do you think that's going to
Well, we got
out?
The expert here. Mike Felger actually wrote a story on this.
Well, I mean, I don't know what they're going to end up doing. I just find it hard to believe that they're going to pay both Moss and Samuel over $20 million guaranteed in the same offseason for two
Why?
Guys. I don't know. It just doesn't.
If you have to rank them, I'd put Samuel first.
Yes.
Because I don't think you have anything else. I think you're screwed in the secondary.
Think
if you're
of that secondary
younger.
This
it
year
would
without
suck.
Samuel.
Suck.
Be brutal.
It's not good as it is.
I agree.
How but much does the salary cap go up next year?
Like quite a bit. You know what? The cap's seven? Not the issue.
Yeah.
The cap's, it's the actual hard dollars. It's the actual money that Bob Kraft's going to put out of his pocket. And they just don't like, I'm not calling them cheap, but I think that as a.
But they're building a mall. I mean,
no, it's not that. It's just philosophically.
I wish Fred was here.
They don't
I just
believe,
don't got it in me.
They don't believe paying out.
I'm tired.
They keep track of the dollars, too, as well as the cap dollars.
Because as soon
point.
As he said that, Fred's ears would have perked right up. That would have been a brawl.
They don't believe in overspending actual cash dollars in any one year.
Right.
So if it's $20 million up front for Samuel, $20 million up front for Moss, if Wilfork wants to get paid, that's close to 20. If you keep that draft pick, that's close to 20. That's a lot of cash out for only a
Could
few
guys.
Could
be up to $80 million, according
right.
to your calculations.
And with
you'll jump off a bridge.
You know, Stallworth is 11. Oh, they kept that in there?
Yeah.
Good.
Naked with a cheese head on.
There you go.
With your cheese head.
With my cheese head
in other words, that you actually have one.
Oh, yeah.
You
didn't burn it after last night's performance. Okay, Chris, thanks a lot. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take care.
Good stuff. Moss and Stallworth, any chance that both are back?
Yeah, but I think Stallworth, he would have to renegotiate, right?
I would have to think so.
Oh, definitely.
But are they going to pay him?
What's going off the books? You did the whole. Did you do that in your story? I didn't
no,
read the whole thing.
I didn't.
Okay.
why would he?
Why would you go all the way?
Because now next week he can do a story on what comes off the books,
true.
The Nick Cafardo way.
You. That's like
why do it all in one?
Kick coverage, then this. You
because it's not
it
a cap
up.
Issue. I think they have tons of cap room. I don't think it matters what's coming
I
off.
I think the cap is very overrated.
Oh, there's no question.
These things.
I came full circle on that when a cap guy told me, the cap is a joke. I said, okay, you're a cap guy.
I had, you know, Andy and I, I'm sure, talking about the same guy, told me, don't ever let a team tell you they can't sign anybody because
right.
of the cap.
That's right.
But Wilfork is after...
He's got 2 years to go, but Ty Warren had 2 years to go, and he re-signed this offseason.
I think you're rushing a little on Wilfork. You're squeezing a $20 million in there that maybe you can put off a year.
Sure you can.
And you could tell him, listen,
he's a nose
this
tackle.
Is what we're going to do.
But
we're going to take care
tackle.
Of
him. It's not like seven nose tackles are going to raise the bar so high that you can't afford him the next year.
And you can say, we're going to take care of you. Just be patient. We just this year we're going to have the Moss situation. We have the Samuel situation.
If it was a quarterback.
We will take care of you and, you know, worst come to worst, God forbid you get injured, we'll take care of you somehow.
Sure,
we'll find a way.
Let me ask you a question. Well,
I'm just saying, there are ways that you can do it.
Let me ask you a question. I don't know Vince Wilfork as well as you guys do.
No, I don't know
just,
him that well.
Well, I'm just, well, you've covered him.
So I'm saying you kind of know him a little bit. I don't know if he'd want to play nice as much as Ty Warren would.
But he doesn't have really a choice with 2 years to go. You can't just say...
I have some insight into the situation. Let's put it this way. He's expecting to get taken care of.
This year.
He wants it. He's expecting it. Yeah.
This year, though.
This offseason.
He should be expecting huge money, but this year he thinks this spring or whatever.
Yeah, well, he looks at when he...
He
looks at when they address Ty. He looks at... I mean, I think Seymour's... Did Seymour have one left or two left when they finally got it
done?
One
left.
And when
they had to give him the bonus, the keep your mouth shut bonus.
The year before. So Seymour expected it with 2 years left. He held out.
Right. So any possibility, Felge, that...
the keep your mouth shut bonus. That's good.
Any possibility that they go to Will Fork, try to get something done, it's not working. If he's expecting it, maybe he's expecting, you know, bigger money than Ty Warren.
I don't think it's a holdout.
And then maybe they go and draft the kid Dorsey out of LSU.
Yeah, I mean, Will Fork. It's just not I don't think Vince would hold out. I just think he's expecting it. So I put it in there because
he's got no leverage. Well, he's not willing to
hold
out.
But could he get lazy?
Ty Warren didn't have any leverage either, and they paid him $18 million guaranteed with 2 years to go.
And he's underpaid.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
You think he's been good this
year? Could he underperform,
though? He's been all right. I think
he's been good. If you don't do what he's expecting you to do, could he start eating a little bit? I mean, we're talking about a 350-pound guy. Those guys get lazy. It's, you know, you balloon up and you can't even get on the field.
I don't think he's that guy.
Okay. I'm just asking.
I don't.
All right.
Vince Wilford.
So
there's a lot of stuff, though. This could be a team that goes 19-0 and is in that small handful that we've been talking about all year of the best teams of all time, if not the best. And all of a sudden, there's 8-10 guys that are important players in this team that aren't here next year.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I have to look at this more closely. With
Samuel.
Roster bonuses. Brewski. You can do that. A second-year roster bonus of $12 million to divvy what you have as $80 million, maybe up over a couple of years to
fit
the
craft
finances.
Well, that's the thing, Felge. Help me out here. You were talking a lot about guaranteed money. Guaranteed money doesn't all have to come out of pocket in the first year,
right,
does it?
That's what I'm saying. Roster bonuses the next spring and all that.
I Clements gets his 23 over 2 years.
Right. So, you know, like you're talking about $80 million you came up with for guaranteed money, but that's not necessarily all out of, you know,
right,
the hard cash would have to come out of pocket
you're
in 2008.
You're
right.
It over 2 years.
But, you know, I'm also, if Clements got 22 from San Francisco, what's Samuel going to ask for? I mean, I said 23. You got to start there, but could it be more? I mean,
I would assume they ask for more.
I think he goes in and says, look, I'm the best cornerback in football. And I think the Patriots have a hard time sitting there saying, no, you're not.
Why? They do that.
No, I know.
They'll do it.
I know, but I'm saying their argument isn't as strong.
In the fourth week, someone caught a pass on you. It was an 8-yard out. Best cornerback in football would have had that.
Now, I think Champ Bailey is probably still the standard bearer, but I think Samuel is in a very small group.
I just think he showed such balls. I mean,
everyone
said he's not worth it.
Not
why is he holding
everyone.
Out? He's expecting too much. Really?
Did you That's when Fred, why do you think Fred
Kirsch
hates
us? We were on
your
show.
He doesn't listen.
I know. We were on
I listen, but did you say he's being unreasonable? I think we all did.
The only thing I would have said about him is
he
needed to end the holdout because of the leverage.
Right. But I thought he was worth every penny he wanted.
Talk about backing it up. He's
once he got franchised, he really didn't have a lot of leverage. That's the only thing that I think we were all saying. He might as well
come
back.
Now he's got it all.
Matter of fact, Felge, with you on Comcast one night, I remember specifically we said he'll probably play it out through training camp, you know, kind of save face a little bit. Mm-hmm. We didn't know he would get anything. He ended up getting something with the guarantee not to get franchised if he met the incentives, which he's about to do. And we said he'll come back because he really has no other alternative.
But the coin has flipped totally. He went from no leverage to all leverage.
All leverage.
Oh, yep.
He got what he wanted in terms of the contract. He's performing like you can't even pretend that was a one-year wonder. Right. And Ellis Hobbs is the other corner.
How many times
did all the leverage is his.
How many times did Fred sit here in the offseason reading the emails after emails with the three, you know, all of them telling us how he was a one-year wonder,
right,
and the three of us saying this was a steady progression. He came in as a rookie who had a penchant for making big plays. Kind of inconsistent. Got beat at times, was out of position at times. Other times he looked great. Then all of a sudden he started getting better and getting beaten a lot less frequently. I didn't think it was a career year last year. Did I think he was going to go out and match the 12 interceptions? No, I didn't. I didn't think teams would give him that many opportunities, and I can't believe Philadelphia gave him those opportunities the other night. To be honest with you, they were killing everybody else, yet they still allowed him to – he could have had three picks.
Mm-hmm.
If he didn't drop one.
You know, and he's the thing is, he's not just a he's such a good corner guy. He's a playmaker.
Yeah,
you know,
he stinks. Steps up. It's all in the head.
That's what I would sell Bill on. If he tries to tell me I'm not the best, I have instincts. I know your defense as well as anybody. I'm in the Ty Law mode where I make plays on my guy and make plays on other guys.
That's the thing.
The whole thing.
His ability to come off his guy and make plays was one of the reasons why I used to bristle at the notion that he's a system cornerback. He's put in spots. Why is he the only cornerback that Bill puts in spots to pick passes off?
Right.
Does that make any sense? No one else gets any interceptions.
He hasn't picked Ellis Hobbs in forever.
You know what I mean? No one else gets any interceptions. It's 12 for him and 2 for the next guy.
Right. The Steve from Edmonton who called is breaking down Marion Barber's last 5 games and says that it's he's not so hot and that Maroney, blah, blah. Listen, you're talking to a guy who saw both of them play at Minnesota, loved both backs, seen Barber play in Dallas, I've seen Maroney play here, and I'm telling you right now, if the New England Patriots picked up the phone, called up, and said they wanted to trade straight up, the Cowboys hang up the phone on them. I'll tell you that right now.
Barber runs so much harder.
Yeah, so that's not even a comparison.
I think the only thing Maroney would be better than Barber at is maybe pure speed.
Oh, yeah, much better at speed.
That's about it.
That's the thing that Barber lacks, I think.
Don't you think?
Yes, and it's not even close right now. Maroney
can't
play. He doesn't get on the field. He doesn't do anything.
It's not close.
Except Felger saw a different second half, apparently.
Say this again?
When you saw these great runs he had.
I thought he hit a couple.
And then he was hitting them left and right to those 31
yards. Who's coming
in
today, Felger? You got your regulars? You got Braves?
Yeah. I think so. I haven't been told differently.
That's the best interview in football.
Yep.
Radio.
That's must listen. That's must listen radio. I like that interview.
Just a ball buster.
That's like a cat with a little dead mouse.
Patting it around. He bats you all over the place. It's so funny.
It's true.
I like the week and the bye week when he called. He's like, hi, sweetie, or something like that.
My favorite was, it's the bye week. We'll talk to you next week.
I wouldn't be so sure.
I would not expect to talk to me next week.
So who else you got? Who comes in now?
You two apes.
What time are we coming in?
I don't know.
Bada, are we doing anything Monday?
How about not late?
How about fine?
3:40 to 4:40
Yeah,
sounds
something like that.
What are we doing Monday?
I think this Randy Moss stuff is interesting. From the ESPN Zone in Baltimore, Maryland.
So you're picking us up at the hotel.
I don't know about that.
Stunned.
You guys need to get a cab.
Probably not.
You can throw me a 50 right now, then, and we'll pay for the cab.
The ESPN Zone is right next to the stadium.
And we're not, so you need to get us there.
All right, we'll touch
base. You're
going
to go right from the ESPN Zone
touch base.
To the game?
So I can walk from ESPN Zone to the stadium?
That's what I've been told.
Ah, so I'm going to lose out on the most entertaining part of the last time we did this with you waiting for the cab. Jeez, they're going to get these bleeping cabbies.
Luckily, he got the right guy for the job.
Right.
Guy's doing 40 in the high-speed lane with people flipping
him off. Andy and I are
laying on the horn behind the guy, flipping him off.
Andy and I are laughing for 15 minutes. And after finally, Felger turns to me and goes, you know, I'm not so sure we got the right guy.
Because the guy, we get in the cab, and I say to the guy, listen, I got a thing in like 7 minutes. How are we doing? He says, oh, man, you got the right guy.
And he did gun it.
He gunned it.
He gunned it to get on the highway. He decked it, cutting off cars. And then he got in the high-speed lane doing 40.
Did 40 the whole way. People were giving him the finger.
It was awesome.
The behind-the-scenes of that, which you guys got a big kick out of.
And we were making fun. Imagine if Paul's the guy they pull up from the bullpen, and then Felger shows up and snatches it away from him.
Sure enough, I'm down there. I got the IFB in my ear and everything. I was all ready to go. And there comes Felger breathlessly running across the field in Cincinnati.
Paul was the fluffer.
Yeah.
Didn't get to show up. I played that role before, though. So.
Is that like cork soaking?
It's not. Wow.
I dabbled in
college. But you don't get on camera. You soak corks and never get on camera. You never
Paul
heard that term?
The fluffer.
I know what the fluffer is.
Oh, okay.
Is.
Wow. Sure.
Yes.
That is.
Thought it was a chode.
Of course. That is something.
Well, I think we got any emails?
Yeah.
I think the Randy Moss stuff is interesting.
Well, this
I think it is.
Diane.
Of course you do. You started out the year wanting this stuff.
No. All I ask is that, you know, I mean, I think honestly, you have a healthy perspective, right?
I agree.
That's the Moss package. You wanted the Moss package. You've got it. That's it.
Okay.
You take the good and the bad, but at least you're not going to sit there and say, he's not dogging it. He's, you know, except
I got someone who says it.
Who says
so
he's not dogging
it? Let me read the email.
Oh, yeah, this is our show right now that you're on. It's
all right.
Table
I'm
turn.
Diane says, please keep in mind that if Moss is in for many plays in a row as a receiver or decoy and Brady is going no huddle, then Moss needs to run 30, 40 yards and get back to the line and run plays over and over again. So needing to slow down a few times should be expected. And with defenders that are pulling on his jersey or pocking him, I don't know what this word is.
Popping?
It says P-O-C-K-I-N-G. Picking him at every opportunity, I'm not surprised.
Poking him at every.
Poking
not spelled right, but poking.
He's still great. So
I just want to know, would you be selling that same tune if he played for another team? Because I don't think you would.
Absolutely not. Go back and just go back and look. I mean, just do a quick little search of what people were saying about this guy before he got here. If we got this Jaws commentary last year, we said, oh, Randy Moss takes plays off. Never be a Patriot. You could never have him on this team. Not a Bill Belichick kind of guy. It's what everyone said for years and years and years.
I think I might still have that hate letter that I got last year when I wrote the commentary at the trading deadline saying that I wanted to get Randy Moss, and the guy called me all sorts of names. That's not a Patriots kind of player.
Now it's the Patriots way, according to Brady.
Lawrence Maroney, in the third quarter, his first run lost a yard, but his next three runs, 7 yards, 6 yards, 10 yards.
Well, that was his night, basically, right there.
Maroney, right guard, 7 yards. Maroney, right tackle, 6.
Yeah, you're basing
six.
His whole night on three runs.
No, I'm just telling
That's
you.
That's it.
I thought that he...
That was 23 of 31 yards.
I'm telling
you
that I think he got some carries because he gained some yards. He got six. He got 7 on that one.
Sure.
Bill went back to him. He got 6. Went back to him again on 2nd and 4. He got 10.
And then let me ask you your opinion on this, Felger.
And then he ended up with what?
When Sammy Morris played, he got 42 carries in 2 games when Maroney was injured.
Sammy Morris was better.
Okay.
Well, I agree with you.
Well, I'm asking you your opinion. What are you yelling at me for?
Because I'm telling you, I think in that game, in the Eagles game, he showed a little something.
Okay, so you're saying going forward, we can... Now, here's the thing.
See, I still think it's...
I don't know about that.
Sammy Morris doesn't get more than 10 carries Sunday night. He doesn't, because that's not what they wanted to do.
But when they gave him the ball, he ran better.
Yes.
That's the only point I'm trying
to make. But we don't know what they'd want to do with Sammy Morris.
But I know that they didn't want to run the ball at all in that game, regardless of who was running.
So there was no issue with Lawrence Maroney. He stood on the sideline for no reason.
Oh, I think that might
I
have
don't
been,
buy that.
That might have been a discipline kind of thing, like
I
you
think
said.
He was suspended for the first half for some
but
reason.
But I think that they came out in that game, because if they wanted to run...
Nod your head. You got anything over there?
No, I have nothing, but I agree.
If they wanted to run the ball, I think they would have run the ball without Maroney. At least a couple of times.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
But their
I do think
back
you might be onto
on
something.
Sideline, so.
Yes, they might. You might be onto something in terms of discipline. And there's no question that Tom is right. Morris would have had more yards
with the
opportunities because Morris ran better. This is like the part of the argument that I surrendered myself to Tom earlier in the week. There is no argument to be made for Maroney's production. It hasn't been there for a year and a half. You know, save for what, 2 games? Cincinnati
Buffalo.
Last year and Buffalo in the opener. And Buffalo, all right, 3 games.
Yeah, I thought he ran well against the Jets.
Okay. You know, I mean, obviously, well, with
that's the point I want to get to, Paul.
I can't argue with Tom on that one. I lose.
Let me
I
ask
lose
you a question.
I try to make that argument.
Their next 2 games are against Baltimore and Pittsburgh, 2 good run defenses. Mm-hmm. Now, say he's a total non-factor in those games. Then they play the Dolphins and the Jets, and Maroney. Oh, Maroney's looking good. To me, no good.
Right.
You know, like, if you could only run against the Dolphins and the Bills, then you're not the person that we thought. You got to do something in one of these big games that says, well, he's contributing to the team. He's part of this offense. Because if Bill's just going to say, we're going to put you on the sideline and just throw it all the time, then in my opinion, you're not worth.
If he gets 12 to 15 carries against Baltimore and averages 4.4,
yeah,
then I'll
good.
Say that's a good game.
Yeah, that's good.
See, it's
that's
to me. It's
game.
Not even about because
it's the big.
I get
plays.
Yeah, it's the big plays because McDaniels
but
has already
but
said
you're not
gonna
get
we're
going to
throw
against
if
Baltimore.
At all possible ever. We're going to throw. So I'm just looking for him to come in and get one carry for 22 yards.
But my
another
point
carry
is, not,
a while later,
kind of jumpstart the offense.
Yeah, just give him a spark.
That's what people don't understand when I bring up Barber. Barber, I'm not looking at his yards, but he jumpstarts that offense. When he gets in there, he brings life to it, and that's what Maroney was supposed to do. He was supposed to come here and bring life to the offense.
And that's what we all thought was going to happen with
this
spread,
year.
With this passing game and this spread offense. We all thought he was going
to
face
to
some
me,
six-man fronts and make big plays, and he hasn't made
you
a single one.
You can make against him. We all said last year. We didn't like Joseph Addai coming out. And then what we say, he's part of the Colts system.
Perfect.
He's a product of the system. Well, why isn't Maroney a product of the greatest passing game ever assembled in NFL history? To me, that's the biggest argument against
him.
He's not a playmaker.
But he's supposed to be.
No, we all thought he was going to be.
Daniel Graham. He was supposed to be a playmaker and wasn't. It's called a bust.
Dan Graham was not a bust.
Hey. Get tackles in the first round.
I haven't heard his name since he left New England. I know he dropped a pass on a fourth down, I think.
Then spiked the ball.
And then
spiked
it and got a 15-yard penalty.
Thanks.
Job, Dan.
So what's your assessment on Eugene Wilson there?
I don't know. You tell me. Has he been on the injury list all week?
They added
they
him.
Put
they
put him
added
back
him
on
yesterday.
With a different injury. Groin from ankle.
Right.
Which he was before he was a healthy scratch against the Eagles Sunday night.
Right. He's
healthy
done.
Scratch.
Done.
Done.
Yes.
Done.
Which is another part of the leverage with Asante Samuel. They used to have these safeties that could play corner if you need to. One of them's now a healthy scratch, and one's your first-round pick special teamer, so they don't have those either.
I still don't know if they're going to pay him.
They got to pay him.
Samuel, what do they do if they don't pay him?
lose.
Well, see, why do they have to? I mean, let's say they win it all this year. All right,
because we learned the lesson when we let Ty Law go, and then we tried to get Ty Law back because we wanted a good corner again.
Who's going
to
call him on it?
Call what on what?
Who's going to criticize him?
I'm already criticizing him. They haven't done it
yet.
They
don't care about you. They don't care about me. They don't care about. I mean, like they've got.
Well, who do they care about? They don't care about any media member criticizing him.
Right.
So then
I know Fred's not going to criticize
even
him.
Even if the entire
Samuel was always slow. I never saw what he got lucky.
Meanwhile,
18 times.
Did you guys go over to Bass Pro?
But even if they had a bunch of guys around here, Felgie, that called them on the carpet for this stuff,
or fans,
it wouldn't matter because they think that they do the things, quote, that they think are in the best interest of the football team, and that's all they care about.
Yeah.
That's all they care about. They don't care about the criticism.
Yeah,
I think Bill hears it.
Remember that one guy that was picketing out front when they let – who did they let go? And the one guy was walking up and down the sidewalk on Route 1.
Was it when they cut Troy? They cut –
No, I was here
it. Was
for
when
it.
They cut Troy.
Was it?
That
I
was
thought
like,
it was like
– Yeah, I think you were here, Tom.
I thought it was Branch and Givens.
They ended up re-signing him, remember? But they cut Troy. And they lost. It was the year they lost McGinnis and Adam.
Yeah, that was definitely the year
they cut Troy, and then they ended up re-signing Troy.
Oh, okay. He was on
one guy out there with a sign.
That was great.
Classic. Just
Patriots
classic.
Fans uniting together.
All one of them.
So, what do you got coming up here, Felger? You got
how many times you can ask me that?
Because you don't answer.
How many more minutes you got to kill here?
Two.
I got five.
Does Stallworth still do the show?
No, he was a fill-in for a couple weeks.
He's
and he
doing Rome
doing
again. Jim
Isn't
Rome.
He good?
He's great.
He's
phenomenal.
He was telling you that the Randy Moss draft night trade happened 2 months earlier.
I love it. That was the best thing ever. I'm like, Dante, was there a part of you that was disappointed when they traded for Randy Moss because that meant you were no longer the number one and maybe couldn't hit your incentives or, you know, you weren't going to be the guy anymore? And he said, well, actually, I trained with Randy down in Miami in February, and he sort of told me what was going on, so I knew it was coming. Yeah, but there's no tampering.
The more he talks, the less chance he has of coming back
That's
here.
Right.
I like what he said about the Sean Taylor death. He was a pretty good guy.
Yeah.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, yes. he was a pretty good guy.
He was a pretty good guy.
We'll do some Santana talk, but mostly, I mean, you guys just totally dismiss the Baltimore Ravens. It's just a non-issue, non-topic.
I just think they're tailor-made for the Patriots.
Tailor-made.
Yeah.
Have you come around? You don't think they're going to win?
No, I'll take the 20.
You'll take the 20 now.
I'll take the 20.
You lose.
I'll take the 20.
You might need 35.
I'll admit,
you better bet with him to make up for the bet that you're going to lose when
that's
Brock
true. Can
kicks
I bet?
The crap
we'll
out
bet
of
a lunch.
Your high school.
A Friday lunch.
We'll bet a Friday lunch.
Because I'm betting with these guys.
Everett. I mean, sorry. I'm
anyway,
not from around here.
I didn't think. I'll admit that I didn't think Philadelphia had the offense to do what it did the other night, but I just don't see Baltimore.
Here's how I break it.
Keeping the ball long enough to keep the Patriots off the field.
I think the Patriots can be beat. And of the teams that they...
That's all you got?
Yeah.
And with that...
and of the remaining teams, Baltimore second most likely to beat them. So,
boy, thanks
now
for
they're
that
gonna
analogy.
Lose two.
So, wait a minute.
Back-to-back Ravens
wait
Steelers.
A minute.
They're in a
losing streak. So the Ravens have a better chance of beating them than the 0-11 Dolphins and the 2-9 Jets.
And now I know why people bend over backwards to give this guy jobs.
Thank God Felger came in for
that's
that
the kind of analysis you get. Listen, you can make good money and have a
lucrative,
to quote another radio personality,
lucrative radio career
by coming up with analysis like that.
Unbelievable.
Unreal.
Pretty good.
That's why I'm hitching my horse to his wagon. Whatever he's doing is right.
Magic.
How about a three-man show there with Hans and Franz?
I love it.
Or a two-man show with Hans and...
Well, I mean, will you take 15 cents an hour?
I'm
doing it now.
A real
so.
Show.
Believe me, I'd like to do a real show.
I'll kill
Hans
them both
Franz.
If they leave me with the guy who's coming back soon.
The ESPN radio, a rocket that's taken off or a submarine that's sinking?
It's one of those dinghies that's just sort of floating in the
it's not what I'm
harbor.
Looking for.
It's just
not, at least I'm in the dinghy.
It's
I'll
not
take it.
Dinghy's taking on water, though.
No, we're trying.
Are you blowing us up?
Was that the dinghy getting torpedoed?
Doctor told me to do it.
Don't ever let anything that he says.
The guy's an idiot.
Again, he's dragging the show down to a malaise.
All right, well, Felger.
And we'll talk Cowboys-Packers.
Okay.
Because I told you what was going to happen last night. Is what happened.
Brett Favre sucked.
Brett Favre came out.
First time I've watched him in a couple years,
hey,
and he looked like the guy from a couple years ago who should have retired.
If he's going to keep begging out of big games with injuries, tell him to make up a new injury. That was the same thing he did with New England, flexing his arm.
I've been saying for years and years, it's a fraud.
We got an important question. Did hunting season open this week?
It's a good question.
Is it really open? Because maybe all week he was up there hunting, and all of a sudden Thursday night he had to rush to get down.
It was open when we went there.
Yeah, it was. Well, when was the Packer game last year?
The day before hunting season started, because it was on all the
news. I understand that, but
I think I'm onto something. Here. I'll get it right now.
It was in November, wasn't it?
I can't remember exactly, but
I think for sure it was in November. I know it was on all the news stations.
That first pick that he threw, all I could think about was you. He saw 11, the guy coming, 19. And he recoiled so he wouldn't get, you know, so he
we're in the
himself
hip step hunting.
And just heaved it.
You are on to something. Your idiocy has stumbled on something. When hunting season starts, Favre goes down the pooper.
People, he does not want to get hit. He does not want to get hit anymore. Watch. I'd like someone to look up his yards gained rushing, his scrambles that have gone over the line of scrimmage. He doesn't do it anymore because he knows he's going to get hit. He doesn't want to get hit. That's A. And B, he plays smart and steady all year. He checks down all year. But in the biggest game of the year, I'm going to go back and play like a jackass and start trying to throw
although
the ball.
All that was missing was Mike Holmgren telling him to stop with the rocket ball.
The good thing, Felger, is you can enjoy watching the Cowboys and Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Be a fun bowl.
While your loser family watches it on TV.
It'd be a good
okay,
bowl.
That's it for today. PFW in progress. As Fred Kirsch will say, we'll see you next Tuesday.